Well, Andy, I know that you've got so much that you're trying to keep on top of at the moment to reassure people in Las Vegas about the situation. So we really appreciate you finding the time to talk to us on Talk Radio today and sending you all our warmest best wishes. Now, coming up on Drive later today, Sam will cross over to Vegas to get the very latest, of course, and maybe speak to Andy as Monarch goes into administration. Sam will hear the latest from Lisa Mino, travel editor of The Sun, about the chaos that has caused. And later on, Sam will be joined by renowned author and philosopher Alan de Botton about his lifelong work. Plenty to keep him going. And of course, I think he'll be touching on the Catalonia referendum. Sam will be speaking to Jordi Pi. I've been thrilled to be sitting in for Julia Hartley Brewer. See you very soon. I was Daisy McAndrew.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Stoptober is back, and this year it's bigger than ever. Over a million people have used the Stoptober 28-day Stop Smoking Challenge to help them quit. And Stoptober's got loads to help you stop for good, like the free app, the online community, and face-to-face support. Plus, you can use patches, gum, even e-cigarettes to help you kick the habit. Keep it up for 28 days and you're 5 times more likely to quit. So come on, join in, because Stoptober is bigger than ever. Search Stoptober for all the support you need to quit smoking for good.
At DFS, we know how important it is to be comfy. So as the nights draw in, our craftspeople like Barbara here...
Hi.
...go all out to make sure every sofa is carefully handmade to order.
I treat every sofa that I sew as if it's coming to my house.
And she's very particular. And with Autumn Winter Collection sofas now up to half price and available with 4 years interest-free credit, winter's going to be very comfy indeed. DFS. Order now for guaranteed Christmas delivery.
We love home. Being cosy, forgetting about the world, and our favourite mug with the chip in it. We love having control and saving energy, even when we're nowhere near home. That's why we created the Nest Learning Thermostat. It learns what you like to help you save energy, and lets you control the heating and hot water right from your mobile. To learn more, visit nest.com/UK, or, if you're in the trade, become a Nest Pro at nest.com/EU/pro. And pick one up from your local wholesaler.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Emmanuel received over £2,400 on her Barclay card.
I'd already attempted to claim back PPI, but with no success. So I wasn't hopeful when I first contacted Stanton Fisher, but I was pleasantly surprised.
With the claim deadline set for August 2019, text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Direct Line guaranteed to be any public liability insurance quote for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? Search Direct Line Public Liability Insurance. New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
At 1 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. You're listening to Talk Radio. Victoria's got the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, 50 dead and 200 injured in Vegas shooting. Monarch customers being brought home and the third probe into the head of Police Scotland.
Talk Radio.
At least 50 people have been killed in the deadliest mass shooting in US history. More than 200 others at a country music festival are injured after a gunman opened fire from the 32nd floor of a Las Vegas hotel. This woman was working at the event.
We thought it was fireworks, and then it just didn't stop. And then people started running. We were hiding in a beer truck. It was mass chaos.
The shooter, who's been named as 64-year-old Stephen Paddock, has been killed by police. Andrew Vieira from KXNT Radio in Vegas has told Talk Radio police are searching for a woman.
Nothing from the sheriff as to the possible motive, and that's the reason he's looking for the companion, because they, at the very least, according to the sheriff, they would like to question her, and that's the way he posited it at the news conference.
President Trump has tweeted to send his warmest condolences and sympathies to the victims and the families of those affected. More than 30 aircraft are being chartered to bring travellers home after the airline Monarch went into administration. 750,000 customers have had bookings cancelled. There's going to be an investigation into claims of Spanish police brutality during yesterday's banned independence referendum in Catalonia. The Catalan leader says a special commission will be set up after more than 800 people were injured. The Chancellor has announced a £400 million investment into transport links across the north of England and the Midlands. Philip Hammond has reaffirmed the government's commitment to the Northern Powerhouse. The Chief Constable of Police Scotland is facing a third investigation into claims of gross misconduct. Phil Gormley is already on special leave while the Police Investigations and Review Commissioner looks into two other complaints. A fourth accusation of bullying has also been made against him. And it's claimed that sitting for long periods and carrying heavy school bags is causing almost half of children back problems. Researchers say huge numbers of our under-14s are reporting mild to severe pain.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Windy in northern areas today with some blustery showers. Elsewhere, dry and breezy, but some rain later on. Highs of 17 degrees.
Thank you very much indeed, Victoria. We're bringing you a slightly different show today, as you might realise, given the scale of what's been happening and continues to happen in Las Vegas. We will be bringing you news from the Tory party conference in Manchester as well, talking about Monarch. But the main news is going to be, as we cover this, more than 50 people killed, as Victoria was just saying, 200 injured in that Las Vegas shooting. You're listening to Talk Radio. Here's the sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update
with Selco Builders Warehouse. Thousands of trade products to buy online and deliver to your door the next day. Selco's got it.
Selco is where the trade go.
Good afternoon, I'm John Howick. Arsenal boss Arsene Wenger believes his critics were too quick to write off Arsenal earlier this season. His side got their sixth win in seven competitive games, beating Brighton 2-0 in the Premier League to leave them outside the top four only on goal difference. They haven't lost since a 4-0 thrashing at Liverpool more than 5 weeks ago.
Nothing is permanent. You're not bad in a permanent way if you can do something about it, and you're not good in a permanent way if you don't keep your urgency. So we responded in a united way, and we could put some wins together and some good performances as well.
Everton's majority shareholder Farhad Moshiri says under pressure manager Ronald Koeman has his total support. A 1-0 defeat against Burnley was their fourth loss in five Premier League games. And Gareth Bale's eased any concerns about his fitness by meeting up with the Wales squad ahead of their crucial final two World Cup qualifiers. The forward missed Real Madrid's win over Espanyol with what boss Zinedine Zidane said was a calf strain, but nothing serious. That's your latest sports news, powered by TalkSport.
You're listening to Talk Radio. It's 4 minutes past 1 o'clock. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
Modern life is hectic. Queuing for the bathroom, packing the kids' lunchboxes, doing the school run, walking the dog, sprinting after the bus, making that deadline, cheeky catch up with the girlies, then racing to pick up the kids so we're home for tea time. Oh, nothing in the fridge.
Don't come home to an empty fridge. New Tesco same-day delivery. Order by one for delivery after seven. Tesco. Every little helps. Subject to availability, excludes Sunday delivery charges apply.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. It is 1:05. You're listening to Talk Radio. Slightly different show today, as I was saying. You'll not be surprised to learn that's because of this incident in Las Vegas, which they are saying is the worst, deadliest, certainly, mass shooting in America in recent history. And the news, as we are getting it, is 50 people, more than 50 people killed, 200 injured. And there was a gunman on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. If you know Las Vegas at all, you know all the hotels are along what they call the Strip. Mandalay Bay's down one end near the Luxor, which is the pyramid-shaped one. A concert was happening over the road from that, a country music festival, and this shooter appeared to have targeted the concert goers from across the road. Michael Graham is an American broadcaster and journalist. He can join us now. Good afternoon, Michael.
Afternoon, I won't say good.
No,
there's nothing good.
There isn't,
here.
Is it? And this
depressing.
It is, and it feels like a relentless treadmill in a way, doesn't it? Of this, you know, every however many months it is, something like this happens, and irrespective of who's carrying it out, you know, we hear a lot about terrorism, and but in the end, it doesn't matter because people have died, and it just seems relentless, doesn't it?
It does. It's horrifying. You just can't believe it. And, you know, I'm sure many of your audience members have been to Vegas. Everyone, you know, goes to Vegas. And, you know, one of the things that has occurred to me a few of the times that I've been in Vegas after 9/11 is, you know, oh my gosh, think about how much damage someone could do if they chose to. And apparently the 64-year-old Stephen Paddock of Mesquite, Nevada, who was a resident of a senior facility, is the reporting we're getting here, chose to do that. And, you know, right now we have no idea why. We just know how horrifying it is.
And the reports we're getting, and just tell us what you know regarding this, because that's the 32nd, you know, these hotels in Vegas are high hotels. They are tall hotels.
Right.
32nd floor. I mean, does that mean, do we think, I mean, I know it's speculation, but, you know, this suggests, doesn't it, that he checked into the hotel with a gun, presumably?
Yeah, it's the most likely scenario, obviously, is that this is something this guy who lives in the area, he didn't need a hotel room, you know, so he went to the hotel for some reason. He had a rifle with him for some reason. He had an illegal rifle. I know a lot of people in Europe think that in America you can go down to the Walmart and buy a machine gun. That's just not true. He had a fully automatic weapon, and those are mostly illegal. There are a few loopholes, like if you're a have some reason you can prove to the police you have one. Maybe you're a collector or something like that.
Yeah.
A handful of people can have what we think of as a machine gun, a gun that you pull the trigger and it just keeps firing until the bullets go away.
Yeah.
Those guns are very rare in the United States. He had one. So why would he have one here at this place? Then from all appearances, this is something that this person decided in advance they were going to do. Who knows why?
And you're right when we in Europe, because it is sort of alien to us, this idea of just gun ownership, of course, as right. You know. But talk me through a little bit more about that, because when you go and buy a gun in America, there are, of course, stringent background checks, aren't there? I mean, you know, and
well,
as you say, you can only buy.
Stringent is a strong word. I mean, I'm a Second Amendment supporter. I think that it's fundamental to the right of a human being to be able to defend yourself, and it's part of the political structure of the United States. But at the same time, you can have reasonable restrictions on it. And so we have a federal instant background check. You have to prove who you are. And then there's a national database, and that you are run through that national database, and it's pretty effective. I mean, the fact is, and we'll find out if this guy was a traditional NRA gun owner. But the fact is, the vast majority of gun crimes in the United States, the vast majority of gun murders in the United States, are committed by people who don't go through the process. We've had 500 murders in Chicago alone this year, and virtually all of them are gang crime. Those guys are not going down and doing the background check. They're buying guns illegally. They're stealing guns. They're, buying guns off the streets. And that's obviously a huge problem.
Yeah.
But the background check has no impact on that. And so what we tend to have in the United States is the people who own guns because they are gun people, as you would call them, gun people.
Yeah.
You know, they care about this issue. They go to the sports club and shoot. They all have licenses. They all go through the checks, and they commit a very tiny portion of the crime. This we'll see in this case who this guy was. We just don't know.
Yeah. And what can you tell us about this woman that was also named as not a suspect? Person of interest. Thank you. And the police have now said they've located her. So what do we know about?
Well, my understanding is, and this is I apologize, the reporting is updating all the time. I do a podcast every morning over here for the conservative platform Ricochet, and so this was on my podcast, and I'm already had to go back twice and update the recording because of the changes.
Well, that's the thing. It moves so quickly, this, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. But apparently this is a companion, and that's the word I've heard. So is it his girlfriend? Is it a wife, a common law wife? Is it? We just don't know. But there's some sort of relationship here, and it's interesting. There's the police are being particularly tight lipped, and the speculation from legal analysts is that they don't want to do anything to disrupt a potential case against her. If she was, whether directly involved, maybe she helped him carry out this attack, or just indirectly, she knew about it and said nothing. The theory is that the police will want to be able to prosecute under those circumstances, so they're being very tight-lipped.
Yeah, and in terms of when something like this happens, I mean, the response was very fast, it seems. They'd shut down the strip very, very quickly. And sent SWAT teams into the hotel, which to sort of British ears, you know, we have that image, you know, the SWAT, what we know of SWAT is from a film. But SWAT are special weapons and tactics, isn't it? This is their job. This is what they are trained to do.
And they blew open the door, and based on what we know right now, and once again, I stand by that all this could turn out to be, you know, corrected later on. But apparently he was in the hotel room. He was still alive, and he was apparently killed by police, which, once again, if that is the case, tells us something else. You know, there's a certain common person committed. You know, there's a threat of violence that gets all of our attention, and that usually involves somebody who's prepared to die when they commit the act. If this person was not trying to die, maybe the woman was going to be his escape vehicle, or maybe, you know, he planned on being arrested and making some statement in the courts. We don't know, but the cops had to blow open the door and get him.
What is the situation there now? Is Las Vegas still on lockdown? What's the situation?
I just saw a report. I do analysis for CBS News over here, and one of our reporters is in the hotel, happened to be there for something else, and he said within the past hour that the hotel was telling everyone, stay in your room, stay in your room. And so they tried to leave and were told again within the hour, stay in your room. So that's the situation.
Yeah.
Last I heard.
And people were saying as well that the hotel had kind of opened up to sort of survivors, really, for people to just go in, and they're putting them in conference rooms and all that sort of stuff.
There's one trauma center hospital, whatever the top ranking for that is in the Vegas area. And they had taken in 104 people as of the top of the hour.
Right.
And four had already that they'd received had passed away. They've already had many people been treated and released because there was relatively minor injuries. But they're taking people straight from the ambulance straight into the OR. They're not even doing the usual in the hospital triage.
Triage, yeah. And just briefly on the sort of history of this kind of thing, because if this is the deadliest, the worst mass shooting is the word that are being used, of course, in recent U.S. history. Is that word recent significant there?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, the fact is the ability to kill lots of people with a gun has gotten more and more efficient at that. The previous major mass killing that was the biggest from the previous century involved explosives, is because that was how you killed lots of people at one time. And I'm delighted to say that we have forgotten the era of the anarchists at the turn of the 18th into the 19th, into the 1900s.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've forgotten that, but it was unfortunately, you know, there was an entire political movement that openly said we use violence to achieve our ends, and that era is gone. But when you think of mass shootings in the United States, the one that has the most power is the shooting at the elementary school in Connecticut, because it was, you know, children completely helpless.
Yeah.
And this person with mental illness who didn't have to buy the guns. He stole his mom's guns, killed her, and went to the school and shot everybody. And it raises the question, how do you stop that? I mean, this is one of my frustrations with my friends on the right. They want to dismiss all the conversations about, you know, what do we do with arguments about the Second Amendment and the theory of the distribution of power between the government and the governed, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I go to Vegas. My kids go to country music concerts. I don't want them to die. There has to be something we can do is the normal human response. But here in America, the debate is, well, what? Even if you buy the arguments in favor of banning private gun ownership, even if you decided that was going to be the America you live in, and which is, by the way, wildly unpopular, even after the shootings at the elementary school in Connecticut, support for gun ownership continues to go up in the United States. And about 6 in 10 adult men own a gun in the United States.
That's some number, isn't it? That is a staggering statistic, really.
So here's the question: what do you do? What could have been done to prevent this horrific attack in this massacre in Vegas?
Yeah.
In this case, the guy owned an illegal gun, so the gun's already illegal. So you can't say, well, you need to ban those guns. Those guns are already banned. So somebody broke that law. Then you say, well, you just can't have, you know, semi-automatic rifles that could be converted to automatic. I understand that argument. How are you going to get 200 million of those guns collected? And, you know, the problem is that the people who obey the law, the ones who might comply and say, OK, I'm going to turn over my guns. They know that the criminals, the ones I mentioned earlier, will never hand over their guns. And so you have this position where until you can demonstrate that you're going to collect the guns from the truly bad guys, you're never going to collect the vast majority of the guns that are owned by law-abiding citizens. So it's a, even if you support total disarmament of the populace, yeah, how do you actually practically get there? No one has ever given me an even close to understandable answer to that question.
And it's all comes down to, as well, of course, certain people who want to do what Donald Trump would call bad things, isn't it? And you could take away the guns, as you rightly say, any amount of legislation and stuff. But if people go out with the intent of harming people, it's people that kill people, not guns, is the argument there, isn't it? And yeah, and you know, then you're looking at, I mean, how do you stop that? You can't, can you?
No, I mean, if bad people want to do bad things, you can't stop it. And I agree that there are some things you can do. There's an area that we can deal with involving mental health. Right now, if you have a mental health treatment, I think that should be part of that database that gets checked before you legally buy a gun. Mm. The counter argument is that gun owners don't trust the federal government because they fear that with a president like, say, Barack Obama, who is very, you know, antithetical to gun ownership, they would make, if you ever went to a psychiatrist ever, you know, just for depression, you know, because you're, you know, you lost a child, or, you know, you served in the military and you came back and got some therapy, that they would take away your right to own guns because they would expand the definition of, you know, mental
health
problems.
It would be on your record. Yeah.
So how do you it's a horrible analogy to use the phrase disarm, but that is where we are. The people who want to restrict gun ownership truly want to confiscate all guns. That is their long-term goal. And the people who own guns know that's their long-term goal. And so there's no goodwill in the middle to do some things that might prevent some shootings. This alleged shooter, he may have had all kinds of mental illness issues. He may have had none. The reporting we have here is that local police had no record of arrest, but that federal authorities, quote, were aware of him. So that leads to questions. Well, was he involved in some kind of political kookery, you know, some fringe group or something? Is that why he popped up? Had he had some issues with guns before and violated federal gun laws? Once again, we don't know, as you and I are talking. But it's going to take some trust and goodwill for Americans to get, you know, some compromises on gun ownership issues, and we don't have that right now.
Michael Graham, American broadcaster and journalist, talking to us there about this incident. Thank you very much, Michael. Telling us what he was thinking about gun laws there. As you heard, this comes in the wake of this shooting in Las Vegas. I'm sure you're aware of it by now, but more than 50 dead and more than 200 wounded. Are the latest figures that could go up, of course, as often these sort of figures do when this kind of thing happens. Las Vegas still, we think, on lockdown. We think that as far as we know anyway, the woman who was named as a person of interest, Marilou Danley was her name, has been located, as have the vehicles registered to the gunman. Obviously, we're talking about this afternoon. We make no apology again for dropping our normal show to cover this in some depth. We'll also be bringing you news from the Tory party conference that's happening in Manchester, and talking a little bit more about Monarch as well, and those stranded passengers, 110,000 passengers stranded by this the collapse of Monarch overnight as well. It's 20 past one. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. Traffic and travel on the way. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
At Wix, we know our trade customers are interested in running a better business. That's why we've launched Wix Trade Pro. It gives the trade access to exclusive discounts, offers and rewards, so everything's always cheaper. Sign up in store, online or via the Wix Trade Pro app today. Wix, let's do it right.
We love home. Coming back to it just the way we left it. The handwritten lists on the fridge and our collection of tools lying around. We love home because it's full of the things that matter to us. That's why we created the Nest Cam security camera. It alerts you to movement at home when you're not there,
and securely streams HD video to your mobile, so you know what's going on wherever you are. To learn more, visit nest.com/UK. Or if you're in the trade, become a Nest Pro at nest.com/EU/pro and pick one up from your local wholesaler.
When you run your own business, being in the right place at the right time can make all the difference. And as the UK's number one commercial vehicle brand, we understand this too. That's why at the Ford Transit Show live event, we'll give you a free sat-nav when you purchase a new commercial vehicle, so your business can be in the right place at the right time, every time. Visit your nearest Ford dealer between the 7th and 15th of October. Ford. Together, we go further.
The free entry-level satellite navigation system available across the Transit range, excluding base and Tourneo series vehicles, to be contracted between the 7th and 15th of October 2017 and registered between the 7th of October 2017 and 30th of June 2018. Offer available to retail and eligible fleet customers only at participating Ford dealers, not available with any other promotions.
I fitted another one of those Valent EcoFit boilers today with a V-Smart.
V-Smart?
Yeah. It lets my customer control their boiler from anywhere through an app.
That's smart.
And it can help reduce bills too by making it work even more efficiently.
That's smart too.
It shows energy usage, and it'll even connect to a smart home.
That's really smart. Why is it called V-Smart then?
At Valent, we're with you all the way, so our EcoFit Pure range is compatible with V-Smart to give complete control. Search Valent V-Smart for more.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
We had claimed back PPI in the past, but it turns out there were some lenders we hadn't checked. The service Stanton Fisher provided was absolutely brilliant. We received over £2,500.
But the claim deadline is set for August 2019, so text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Slow for Hampshire's eastbound M27. One lane's closed around Junction 1 for Cadnam, the recovery of an accident. Through North Enfleet and Essex, delayed for the South End Arterial Road, the A127. This is east towards the Dick Turpin's Junction, where one lane's closed because of an accident. Through Sedgebrook in Lincolnshire, you can now get past the accident on the A52, but there's still some restrictions for both sides of the road there. But better news in the Sidderway area at Stoke for the A50. All restrictions at the Sidderway roundabout for the A500 have been lifted. I'm Jarena Adams.
Buy six or more bottles of wine, champagne, sparkling, sherry or port at Sainsbury's and save 25%. Offer ends 3rd of October. Excludes gift sets. Maximum 36 bottles per customer. Excludes Centrals, Locals and Scotland. Subject to availability. Online delivery charges apply. Selected Sainsbury's stores only. Please drink responsibly.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney.
Weekday afternoons from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So if you are just joining us, here's what we're doing today. We're dropping our usual show and bringing you more detailed coverage of this shooting in Las Vegas. 50 people plus killed in this attack from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, which is on the Las Vegas Strip. If you know it at all, you'll know it's down one end near the Luxor, which is the pyramid-shaped one. Over the road from that, there was a concert going on, a country music festival concert, which is the area the gunman opened fire on. He had what we've learned from our guest previously was an illegal weapon. It was a fully automatic machine gun, which it's very difficult to get. Even in America, they're very difficult to get hold of. You don't just walk into a Walmart, as he said, and buy one of those across the counter. They are illegal weapons, which makes a mockery, does it not, of any law banning guns, because this one was technically banned anyway. Another 200 wounded. It is the worst... certainly deadliest shooting in recent US history, and for a country that's fairly used to this kind of thing, that tells you that the statistics are pretty bad. Charlie Wolfe, you'll know him, he's a US political commentator. He joins us now. Charlie, hello.
Hi, I'm glad you made the point. I was just going to make that, yes, this is a machine gun, from what it sounded like to me. It wasn't quite in the league of an M60, but it was still, I'd say, roughly a heavier gun. The Second Amendment doesn't cover that. You don't just go out and buy one of those, as you said, at Walmart or anywhere else. Yeah, they can be obtained, yes, but you'd have to have very special certification. and these are people that may be gun shop owners, and you know, normal people just aren't going to get a hold of them. So, you know, I think people need to remember something. Let me just say this. I mean, I think our condolences obviously go out to the people involved in this in Las Vegas. You know, this is a horrible event. You know, this is affecting a lot of people, at least 50 dead so far, and there will probably be more. You know, if this hits 75 to 100, I wouldn't be surprised. Mm. Not to mention all the people that are injured and the families and friends that are affected by this. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out. And though I may disagree with the people who are anti-gun, I can appreciate where they're coming from. You know, this is a shocking event. And you know, even if you just witness it on TV, it's almost as bad as being there. You know, to see this on TV, it's not something you usually see. So people are going to make statements that I think are wrong, and I'll explain why. But at the same time, I can appreciate the sentiments from where they're coming from.
So what do you mean, what were you expecting from the anti-gun lobby after this?
Oh, it's the usual, you know, if you know, we didn't have so many guns, etc. We should ban guns. You know, the usual American, it's guns, and why don't we change the U.S. Constitution? Or generally, the feeling is, let's make a law. And, you know, I hate to tell people that laws don't change how people live. You know, laws have to work in a moral context with moral people. So, for instance, if, just say tomorrow, I waved the magic wand, and I said, okay, I've changed the law. Murder is now legal. Would you or anybody you know in that building, or do you think any of your listeners would suddenly say, oh, good, I'm going to go out and murder somebody?
Mm. Well, that's a couple of people.
The law is not what prevents me from murdering people. It's
a moral conscience.
Yeah, it's a moral conscience, and the law reflects that moral conscience.
We were just talking about that, Charlie, as well, just before the break, and touching on that, in that it doesn't matter what you do, there are still, and I quote, you know, it's the Donald Trump words, isn't it? Bad people. There are bad people. Yeah. They will do bad things irrespective of what you do.
And again, if tomorrow I took an eraser, or a rubber, I think, as you would just say over here, and I grabbed my copy of the Bill of Rights at the National Archives in Washington, and I rubbed out the Second Amendment. Do you think that this guy Paddock would have said, you know, oh, I it's no longer legal, I can't do it anymore?
Mm. The monster's out of the cage, isn't it? That's the problem. Yeah.
And
you know,
that's the other thing: the availability of guns.
Yeah.
Remember, the Second Amendment was made for moral people to use guns in a moral fashion. It wasn't made to enable terrorists or criminals or nutcases, if I can phrase it as such, to have guns. So if tomorrow there were no guns, it isn't going to affect these guys. They're going to still get their hands. But again, here's the thing. People are going for this sort of utopia of saying, well, if there were no guns, they couldn't get their hands on them. Well, you know, if this was, I don't know, 1820 or whenever the hell it was that Smith & Wesson, you know, made the six shooter, then maybe you got a case. Maybe, you know, if it was Australia from several years ago when they banned guns, maybe you have a case. But how do you collect 300 million, I think is the figure, 300 million of anything in the United States, never mind 300 million guns?
I wasn't aware of the statistic that 6 out of 10 in the last 20 minutes, men in America own guns. That's a higher statistic than I thought. I was surprised by that.
Mm. And again, you know, after the Obama administration, when they thought they were going to lose that right, when somehow it was going to be trampled on, you know, that shows how important. And it's not because we're just delusional about this. It is a very important right. You know, it shows who has the power. You know, the government serves we the people. Remember when President Trump gave his speech to the UN recently, he talked about those three words, we the people. And that is very important. You know, who's got the power?
It's hard for someone who's British, who hasn't grown up with this, and we don't have that culture, as you well know, Charlie. Mm. And it is hard, even listening to you explain it there, and we were talking before about this as well. You know, and we're sitting here in a country that's got a completely different culture to that. We just don't get it. For some reason, I'm not speaking for everyone, I'm speaking for me particularly, but I just don't understand the gun thing. And you've explained it very well there, and I understand it's steeped in the Constitution, all that kind of stuff. But it's odd. Does that make sense? If you're British, and you're listening to this.
It's steeped in the culture as well, not the Constitution. You know, Las Vegas, right now, Vegas proper, maybe not, but, you know, that part of the world, that's the Intermountain West. I used to live, you know, just up the road in the Salt Lake area.
Yeah.
You know, that's real cowboy country. There are people who go hunting. And matter of fact, in Utah, there's a day off for the first day of the deer hunt.
Yeah.
And the reason why, these people aren't just going out for their jollies. That's their winter's food. You know,
yeah.
They'll take their kids out with them. It's an important family event. They'll bag their deer. They'll take it down. They'll, you know, skin it and chop it up or whatever they do with it, put it in the freezer, and they live off that for the winter. You know, this is where the cowboys, and remember, the gun tamed the West.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Nevada's got some of the least stringent gun laws in the U.S. as well.
Yeah, yeah. But again, you know, several people are saying, you know, pointing that out. But still, whatever their gun was, you would not be able to purchase that machine gun. You know, people just don't normally do this. You know, again, I know these are fantasy arguments, but if you to take the spirit of which I'm offering them, if I went down to, you know, Oxford Street, where, you know, pick somewhere you're going to find the odd nutter, and I just said, oh, okay, listen, here's a machine gun. Anybody takers, you know, you won't be prosecuted. Here, would you like to just, you know, knock off a couple hundred rounds and see how many people you can kill? Who would do it?
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? It's like
normal people don't do that.
Look, the story's developing, as we know. It's going to be interesting to find out, you know, who this guy was. Because, of course, this morning, you know, when we first started getting reports of it, all manner of things were being mentioned, as you can imagine, in the current state of the world. But, you know, it turns out this guy's a local. He's 64. He's, you know, he's got himself an illegal gun. We're going to keep following the story, of course. Charlie, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks,
US political
Jack.
Commentator there, for talking to us about that. It is turning. It's weird how early this is happening as well. We've got the reports out of Vegas, but already it's turning into yet another, as happens every time, another argument about guns and whether or not they should have them in America and under the Constitution. As he was saying, it's ingrained in the culture. But some things never change, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, look, the next half an hour of the programme, we will be taking a break from Vegas news because we can go to the Tory Party conference in Manchester. Our reporter Alex is up there for us. We'll be going through the papers as well and looking at all of the breaking stuff online regarding these stories that are all around us this afternoon. But with the very latest on it all at 1:33, Victoria's got the latest news.
Talk Radio.
The worst mass shooting in US history has left at least 50 people dead and more than 200 injured. Police have killed a gunman who opened fire as a music festival took place on the Las Vegas Strip. Sheriff Joe Lombardo has named him as 64-year-old Stephen Paddock.
As far as his history and background, we haven't completed that part of the investigation yet. But we located numerous firearms within the room that he occupied. Like I stated earlier, it's going to be a long and tedious investigation.
In the last half an hour, Conservative backbencher Jacob Rees-Mogg has been mobbed by protesters at the Tory Party conference. Reports suggest the event descended into chaos, with people questioning the politician about his beliefs on abortion. He's previously said it goes against his Catholic faith. The financial collapse of Britain's fifth biggest airline, Monarch, has hit the travel plans of 860,000 passengers. Flights are being put on to return anyone who's currently stuck abroad. It's been described as the UK's biggest ever peacetime repatriation. Alleged Spanish police brutality during yesterday's banned independence referendum in Catalonia is going to be examined. The region's leader says a special commission will be set up after hundreds of people were injured. Police Scotland's chief constable is facing a third investigation into claims of gross misconduct. Phil Gormley is already on special leave while a watchdog looks into two other complaints which he previously denied. And fans going to watch Thursday's match between England and Slovenia won't be able to get off at Wembley Stadium. Chiltern Railway says its trains won't be stopping there due to the impact of the tube strike. The weather windy in the north with some blustery showers, elsewhere dry and breezy, but rain later on, highs of 17 degrees. There's more news in 25 minutes.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Thank you very much indeed.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
You know, sometimes they say opposites attract. Well, I'm from the south, and you, Carol?
I'm from the north, obviously.
You're blonde, and I'm kind of mousy coloured.
You've hardly got any left.
And you're quite loud, and I'm very shy and retiring, which is why I think we go so well together on the Full Set Breakfast with me, Paul Ross.
And Carol Malone.
Join us tomorrow morning. Better call Paul and phone Malone from 6. Be there.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK.
online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Talk Radio. We are bringing you quite a different show today, mainly down to this story from Las Vegas. Of course, more than 50 people killed and 200 injured. That's the latest figure. Some people are very much expecting that to go up, as well as this gunman opened fire from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel with what looks to be an illegal machine gun. That sounds quite odd to say, really, doesn't it? But given that the vast majority of guns in America that do get used in these kind of shootings are legal weapons, this one stands out because the machine guns like that are nearly impossible to get hold of by anyone in America. You can't just walk in to a shop and buy them like you can with other guns. But we'll be returning to that. Of course, the story is developing as we speak. But elsewhere in the world, Manchester, if I'm being specific, the Tories are holding their conference. Last week was the turn of Jeremy Corbyn, of course, who trotskied out his speech from the podium down there in Brighton. In Manchester, though, we've already been hearing of scenes involving Jacob Rees-Mogg. Our reporter Alex Dibble is on site. Hello, Alex.
Hello, John.
Hello. So what can you tell us about the Mogg riot?
The Mogg riot, as Victoria said in her news, happened in the last sort of half an hour or so. And this essentially stems from the views that he expressed regarding abortion on ITV a couple of weeks ago now, wasn't it? And there's been a protest on that issue here in Manchester, and of course people understandably venting their anger at Jacob Rees-Mogg. I haven't seen Jacob Rees-Mogg since this incident, but when I do, I'll attempt to ask him about that and to see what the police response and presence was like at the time, because that's obviously crucial. And there have been lots of police officers around the conference centre in the last couple of days too.
Which you wouldn't be surprised about at all. I mean, broadly speaking, what's the mood in the, because we know the mood down in Brighton, when we spoke to you down in Brighton, was one of sort of celebration, wasn't it? Because the Labour Party had sort of pretended they'd won the election for a bit. And we're just in celebratory mood and just very much on the up. What's the feeling at the Tory Party conference overall?
Yeah, quite different, I think. And, you know, there's a much more muted atmosphere than there was in Brighton. And this is because, you know, there are so many more questions about the unity of the party going into it. And so all the ministers, for example, are sort of on their guard when they're answering questions, and they're all being asked questions about it. Philip Hammond, though, the Chancellor, has just delivered his speech here in Manchester, and he said that it is now time to unite behind. We are united behind Theresa May, and now we have to go forward with that unity, delivering a Britain that works for everyone, which is the Conservative sort of party slogan at the moment. So, Philip Hammond doing his best to reiterate almost that everyone is behind the Prime Minister.
Well, he's also said, of course, that, and I quote, everyone is sackable. When questioned about Boris Johnson being, you know, one of the untouchables, he was very specific, wasn't he, saying that it's always operated on the idea that everybody is sackable. And has there been much fallout from that as a comment?
Well, I don't think so, mainly because the context was that he was saying all cabinet ministers, in theory, you know, report to the Prime Minister, and therefore they're all sackable equally. I think he was trying to sort of state the obvious, that something that everybody already knows, without really referring to Boris Johnson. So there hasn't been too much fallout from that. But of course, everyone is still sort of probing and hoping that a crack emerges and someone says something that reveals their true feelings. But everyone, of course, as you can imagine, politicians are doing their best to make sure that doesn't happen. I spoke to Joe Johnson, Boris's brother, this morning, the university's minister. I asked him a couple of questions about the tuition fee announcement that Theresa May made yesterday, and then asked him as well about Boris, and he just walked away in silence. So that gives you a little indication of the fact that people really do not want to talk about it.
Yeah, from your point of view, though, as a correspondent, you know, I say you were down in Brighton, you're now in Manchester. What are the differences for you in terms of access to things and that openness of people who are willing to talk, which you've just touched on? You know, is there a difference in these conferences or in how the media are received, or are they all vaguely similar?
There's been a huge difference, visible and in every other way, really, between this week and last. Firstly, in order to get into the complex here. You have to go through stringent security, almost like you're going through an airport, whereas at the Labour one, there was security, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like they were lax, but it wasn't quite at the level that there is here. And then when it comes to speaking to cabinet ministers and secretary of states, for example, here, you almost can't get anywhere near them. And if you do, then you're sort of fobbed off to the press office and told to go through there. Whereas at Labour, it was a lot easier to, you know, walk up to the deputy leader or the shadow chancellor and say, hi, can I speak to you for a couple of minutes? And you know, they did have a little entourage, but it was nowhere near the level that we've got this week. So definitely there is a more guarded approach from the Conservatives. Perhaps that's because they're in Manchester as well. They don't feel particularly at ease being here, but also politically they just want to come out of this conference unscathed, and then that's their priority.
That's right, and I suppose that way of dealing with it as well sort of papers over any cracks with it. You know, they have to have a line, don't they, that is the party line, and they've often frowned for that reason on, you know, because we always hear about divisions in the cabinet, frowned upon people speaking out individually because people tend to say what they think, and so they've got to have a straight line. No, it's the press office.
Well, exactly. People do seem to say what they think. I've just been at a fringe event with Ruth Davidson, the leader of the Conservatives in Scotland. And she is she's always one for giving a straight answer to a straight question. My favourite quote so far in that event was that the Tories need to get over the nervous breakdown they seem to be suffering at the moment and man up a bit. That came out of her in the last half an hour. And so, yeah, well, one or two are saying what they think. But, of course, the closer you get to the top, the more guarded their answers become.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about last night's debate. Cause last night's debate on Talk Radio, of course, with Julia Hartley-Brewer. What can you tell us about that, for those that didn't hear it?
Yeah, it was a brilliant hour, 8 till 9 last night. You can listen again on the website if you didn't hear it. Julia Hartley-Brewer with Michael Gove, who, of course, tried to stab Boris in the back, didn't he, when he went for the Tory party leadership a year or two ago. It was also Katie Perrier, the former director of communications at Number 10 Downing Street, and also Grant Shapps, the former co-chairman of the Conservative Party, now International Development Minister. So really interesting stuff. Some good questions on Brexit. You know, is Jeremy Corbyn getting into power worse for Brexit than walking away from the EU with no deal? There was also, you know, inevitable questions about Boris and the future of the Conservative Party as a whole. So a really lively debate, and it was great to hear from them, particularly Michael Gove throwing in the odd witty comment as well. He's a very, say what you like about Michael Gove, he's an incredibly intelligent man, and when he's sort of sitting down in sort of polite conversation in a relaxed setting, he's good company.
All right, Alex, listen, thank you very much for talking to us. We'll be talking to you again, I know, later on to find out the latest from the Tory party conference, which is happening in Manchester. If you're just joining us, we are also talking this afternoon, a slightly different show, mainly due to this shooting in Las Vegas. The latest numbers are that 406 people have been taken to hospital. We know there are more than 50 dead. But that's now 406 people taken to hospital. So the figures, as we suspected and feared, are going up. The worst shooting on American soil in recent history. This is a man who assumed what is essentially a sniper position on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel in Las Vegas on the Strip, shooting at concert goers over the other side of the road who were at a country music festival. More on that, of course, as that story develops this afternoon here on Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes, traffic and travel on the way.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
Stoptober is back, and this year it's bigger than ever. Over a million people have used the Stoptober 28-day Stop Smoking Challenge to help them quit. And Stoptober's got loads to help you stop for good, like the free app, the online community, and face-to-face support. Plus, you can use patches, gum, even e-cigarettes to help you kick the habit. Keep it up for 28 days and you're 5 times more likely to quit. So come on, join in, because Stoptober is bigger than ever. Search Stoptober for all the support you need to quit smoking for good.
This unsavory creature, called the Monster Bill, makes its home in motor vehicles, where the Monster Bill's voracious appetite for money slowly drives the owners, who can't be bothered to switch their car insurance company, bananas. But could the Monster Bill now be at risk of extinction from its one natural and powerful predator?
Go compare! Arr! Just go visit them today. Keep that Monster Bill at bay. Yes, before you go bananas, go compare!
Modern life is hectic. Queuing for the bathroom. Packing the kids' lunchboxes. Doing the school run. Walking the dog. Sprinting after the bus. Making that deadline. Cheeky catch up with the girlies. Then racing to pick up the kids so we're home for tea time. Oh, nothing in the fridge.
Don't come home to an empty fridge. New Tesco same-day delivery. Order by one for delivery after seven. Tesco. Every little helps. Subject to availability, excludes Sunday delivery charges apply.
TradePoint catalogue is out now, and to celebrate, we're giving 10 lucky TradePoint members the chance to win £1,000 worth of Amazon vouchers. Just make a purchase at any TradePoint counter before the 29th of October for your chance to win. See in store for more details. T's and C's apply. Trade only.
TradePoint!
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Slow for the eastbound side of the M27 in Hampshire after early problems around Junction 1 for Cadnam. All lanes there have been reopened. Queuing for the clockwise side of the M25 in Essex. This is towards a broken down vehicle between Junctions 30 and 31 approaching the Dartford River crossing. A breakdown on the M6 south in Cheshire has left some queuing traffic between Junctions 18 for Middlewich and 17 for Sandbach and Crewe, but that's now gone on its way. And there's a broken down vehicle on the M60 clockwise, Junction 16 to 17 near Pendlebury, making things quite busy there. I'm Joanna Adams.
Buy six or more bottles of wine, champagne, sparkling, sherry or port at Sainsbury's and save 25%. Offer ends 3rd of October. Excludes gift sets. Maximum 36 bottles per customer. Excludes Centrals, Locals and Scotland. Subject to availability. Online delivery charges apply. Selected Sainsbury's stores only. Please drink responsibly.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on your radio, the big beast of broadcasting is back.
Talk Radio has harpooned a whale. A great, big, stinking, smelly one.
The voice of reason returns to Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
The legendary James Whale is back.
Great whale tales from the blowhole of Bologna.
The James Whale Show, tonight from 7.
100% whale, 0% blubber.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
It is Talk Radio, and today we are talking about the shooting in Las Vegas. So if you are just joining us, we are bringing you a special today, a slightly different show to usual, because those horrific numbers just keep going up. We now know more than 50 dead. Of course, the latest from the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, this is just breaking now, 406 people have been taken to local hospitals. There were more than 22,000 people in that crowd when the gunman opened fire. Rebecca Boer is a US correspondent, lives in Alabama. Good afternoon, Rebecca.
Good afternoon, John. How are you guys?
We're okay. I mean, it's, you know, we're feeling a bit, I don't know, resigned to it is a weird thing to say. But, you know, it's a case, we were saying this earlier, when we hear this news, it's almost a here we go again. Because, you know, every few months there is, seems to be, anyway, at least, you know, some horrific incident involving a gunman or someone with a gun, anyway, in the United States. And, you know, I don't want to say we certainly don't shrug it off, but we just sort of go, oh, it's happened again, you know, and you just have right. to resign yourself to it. I wonder how America's feeling now, though.
I think there's a little bit of that here as well. Of course, you know, from what I can tell with my friends and looking on social media and the way I feel this morning is sad. You know, I can't believe that yet again I'm waking up to this news. And you're right, but I mean, I think it also goes beyond just gun incidents, but also terror incidents, as you guys know, you know, across the world,
yeah.
that there is just so much hatred and access to deadly weapons. I think there is a little bit of like no one is surprised, but everyone is very, very sad. But then it's that kind of argument of, well, everyone puts on social media our hopes and prayers and thoughts are with these people, but that's not enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're absolutely right. That is the what I suppose has jumped out. It's, first of all, the amount of footage that comes out of something like this these days. I mean, within moments, you know, people in that crowd were filming it. You know, right. And all of the, you know, we've probably seen the footage, and if you haven't, it is widely available on social media, of people just, you know, you can hear the gunfire, you can see the flashes right. in the window of the hotel where it's coming from. Everyone's down on the floor. And I find that odd anyway, because I'm thinking, right, your life is in danger. Why are you Snapchatting this? You know, and right. it, you know, right. it's taking the time to do it. And it's, it, the world's changed in that way, isn't it? Everything is so documented now.
Yes. I mean, and that's an entirely different issue I have a problem with in general, is live your life, don't film your life.
Yeah, walk out, yeah, yeah.
You know, but yeah, no, exactly, you're right. It's, we have citizen journalists now, and they're, you know, everyone has a camera in their pocket. So, you know, in the one case, that helps police because they're able to see and hear and understand what was going on much faster. But in the other, like, do we really need to see all of it? I mean, I'm just thinking of the family members of those who were killed or injured last night. And, you know, what happened to their loved one is now across the media, across the world. And that hurts a little. That hurts my heart for them.
We saw it very graphically with the Barcelona attacks. I don't know if you remember mm-hmm. that a few months ago, where mm-hmm. where someone was actually just right. wandering around afterwards, not helping anybody, that's but filming
horrible.
People on the ground. And you
yeah,
just,
horrible.
Yeah, and then it gets widely shared. And I don't know whether it's a, is it a generational thing? I don't know what that is. Or just the fact that people want to be seen to be involved somehow. And what,
I do think it's a generational thing. Yeah. I think it's a millennial thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and you're quite possibly right, I think. You know, because that they now, you know, people of that age have access to this technology. It's the first thing they reach for when they wake up, isn't it? The phone.
Right,
and it's what
right.
keeps them in contact with everybody, and so it you know, and it's it, and Facebook, it's certainly, it's documenting your life in a way that we didn't do before, I suppose.
Right, right, and not everybody needs to know everything in your life.
Yeah.
And in these moments, I mean, I can understand it from a perspective is as a journalist, if I were on the scene, I would go into I'm going to report this mode, but that's different. That's my profession, and that's what I'm trained to do. But people just wandering around, you know, taking video of injured or deceased people to put on their Facebook, I don't understand that. I don't understand that mentality.
There's a human, I don't know whether it's because there's an inbuilt human fascination with it in a way. Because at the end of the day, if you look back to, you know, centuries gone by, you know, some of the biggest attended events ever were public executions, weren't they? Mass executions. And it's like people,
right.
and people, you know, it's slowing down on the highway, you know, to watch a car accident. You know, there's something within us, I think, that it's fascinated by it. But the problem is with social media, because it's fed into that and reawakened
right.
it somehow. That's how it seems to me.
Right. Right. I mean, I would love to go back to where we were 20 years ago without cell phones and social media and your whole life displayed.
Yeah.
That would be great.
In terms of the history of these shootings, because they are calling it, you know, this is the big, possibly the deadliest shooting in recent American history. I
yes.
think, you know, with more than 50 dead, I think the Florida nightclub was 49 people were killed in that. And is there a sense that these incidents are getting worse in terms of numbers, but just I don't know, increasing? Is, you know, what's the sort of feeling around that?
I mean, yes. I mean, it's not even a feeling. It's factual. But yes, they're increasing, and more people are dying. And I don't know what the answer to that is, because, you know, we don't know all the facts from today or last night. We don't know where the guns were purchased or any of that. Better is they were not legal guns.
Yeah, so, that's what we're hearing. Yeah, it's a machine gun that's not, because we were talking a little bit about guns earlier. Because to us in Britain, of course, you know, we don't understand the first thing about gun ownership, because it doesn't happen here.
Right.
So whenever we hear about it, and I know, you know, and how it's, you know, the part of the Constitution, it's actually, you know, ingrained in American society. It's hard for us to understand. And then when you start hearing about, you can walk in and just buy a gun over the counter and so on and so forth. But obviously the gun he had was an illegal gun anyway.
Right. So I don't know what the answer is how you stop things like this when that wasn't legal to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the case. And a lot of these, they're not. You know, there were an instance, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe in Newtown that gun was purchased legally, but not to him. So but he modified that gun anyway. So that's the thing, is I don't know what the answer is to people having illegal weapons. You know, and even if we went, if America did what Britain did and wiped out and said, okay, no guns are legal at all, there's so many already in existence here. How do you do that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, we were talking.
Of course, ideally, in a morning like this, that's the first thing people will think. But what's the, how do you do it?
Yeah, and what do you make of Trump's response? Just in terms of the, you know, because obviously he's tweeted about it as he always does. But right. you know, he said, I suppose what it's hard for anyone to say anything, isn't it?
You know,
and when you're the president, you're going to come under scrutiny for it. But what are you supposed to say? Anybody in this sort of situation, you know, you can only, you know, say, you know, I guess, I don't know, speak from the heart. What do you, you know, what do you do in that situation? You know, what words can you say?
I think at this point for those affected, words don't matter. I think we need to see, you need to take care of these people. How are we going to, let's move forward immediately with what can we do for these families? How can we help them? How can we, you know, lighten their burden, help with financial expenses for funerals or for hospital bills? Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. And just on a sort of final point of the facts of the case, I mean, the numbers are increasing. We know 406 people taken to hospital now. But there were 22,000 people at that music festival. And you know, that's what do we know anything about the festival itself? I mean, because Vegas obviously home of entertainment, isn't it? You know, and people know it because of the strip and where the hotels are and how it's laid out, I guess. And for those that don't, what is it about Vegas and that strip that makes it, you know, the capital of entertainment? Because it just, people just flock there, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the weather is great all the time, so, you know, you can go any time of year.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's always big concerts and big shows, and those casinos host big shows. I mean, there's big names that have residencies there, from Britney Spears to Elton John and, you know, Garth Brooks and people like that. But this concert in particular, I heard one of the other country artists who was on stage with Jason Aldean was the country singer who was on stage when it happened. He was performing when it happened, but Jake Owen was had performed right before him, and they're buddies, so he was kind of on the side of the stage when it happened. And he said that the security to get into this facility, like it's an open space, but they had very good security screening everyone who came in. There's security all around where the artists were. But you, again, what do you do to protect them from the building, someone on the 32nd floor and a building behind them?
And that's quite a new tactic in a way, isn't it? That high vantage point technique.
It's new to what we're seeing now, but there was another incident at the University of Texas, the famous bell tower
shooting,
someone did the same. So, you know, and it was very reminiscent of that, actually. And this man was in his 60s, so it's possible that that's where he got that idea from.
All right, Rebecca, thank you very much for joining us on what is a tragic day in America, of course, and all across the world when news like this happens. But more than 50 people killed, 406 people injured and taken to hospital following this mass shooting in Las Vegas, the deadliest and worst shooting in U.S. history, is what the reports are saying. Police are now saying that the suspect killed himself. We were led to believe that the police shot the suspect, but police are now saying that when they went into that room, using explosives, we also know about that, the suspect killed himself before they had a chance to, well, in their words, and they have used them, take him down. More on this. Of course, it's developing. Of course, it is an ongoing and changing story. We will be bringing it to you with no apology for changing the show today, because it's an important story. It's a big story, and it's worth us talking about in some depth, of course. Not only that, though, we will be bringing you details of the Tory Party conference, which is happening in Manchester, and after the break, Monarch Airlines, Britain's fifth biggest carrier, has gone out of business overnight, stranding 110,000 people abroad, 300,000 flights affected overall. We'll be talking a little bit about that after the news at 2 o'clock, which is coming next. I'm John Holmes, and you're listening to Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, the brilliant new iPhone's finally here. But which network do you go for? What if you could get one that lets you keep any data you haven't used? Or change your plan whenever you want?
New Sky Mobile. With the new iPhone. Now there's an idea. The perfect network for your perfect phone. Sky. Believe in better.
Redeem data per 1 gigabyte and use within 3 years. 12-month minimum term. Downgrades effective month following selection.
The Renault scrappage scheme is now on. You could save thousands on a brand new Renault. So say au revoir to your old car. Model exclusions apply. Eligibility criteria apply. Visit renault.co.uk/scrappage.
It's amazing what you can do with a tap. With just a tap, you can go from craving to tasting. From choosing to cheersing. And even from searching to surprising. Now with HSBC, you can use Android Pay wherever you see the contactless symbol. It's easy, fast and secure. Simply download Android Pay from the Google Play Store. So explore, tap and enjoy with HSBC.
Terms and conditions, device restrictions and transaction limits apply. Most HSBC cards are eligible, subject to status.
So I get free Love2Shop vouchers in this 500,000 giveaway?
That's right. For every 20 litres of selected Dulux Trade and Armstead Trade paints you buy,
yeah,
you'll get a £10 Love2Shop voucher to spend at over 20,000 stores and online.
Oh, nice.
So, are you off to do that hallway on Hill Street?
Yeah, I am, but only after I've had a look online at what I can spend my vouchers on.
Don't miss the Dulux Trade and Armstead Trade 500,000 giveaway. In store now until October the 31st. T's and C's apply. See online at 500,000giveaway.co.uk or in participating stores for details.
As a business owner, you can't waste money on anything, particularly hiring. That's why we built Indeed.com differently. No upfront fees, no long-term contracts, so you can start, pause and stop at any time. Post your next job on Indeed, the UK's number one job site. For a limited time, we're giving new users a £50 credit to post a sponsored job. Claim your £50 credit at indeed.com/redeem. That's indeed.com/redeem. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. The UK's number one job site according to Comscore.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
At just after two, good afternoon, it's Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes. Victoria's got the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, dozens die in Vegas massacre. The collapse of Monarch and tube strike will hit England fans.
Talk Radio.
More than 50 people have died in Las Vegas in what is the deadliest mass shooting in the history of America. Police say 406 people have been taken to hospital after a gunman, Stephen Paddock, opened fire from the 32nd floor of a hotel. In the last few minutes, officials have revealed he killed himself before officers entered his hotel room. Christine helped some of the injured get to hospital after fleeing the scene.
The shots just kept coming and there was a man that was shot right there. They were trying to take him out. He was all bloody and he was unconscious. And one of my friends was helping him out and they got him out.
Paddock had at least 10 guns. Republican US political commentator Charlie Wolf has told Talk Radio this will lead to people questioning gun laws in the states.
The Second Amendment was made for moral people to use guns in a moral fashion. It wasn't made to enable terrorists or criminals. So if tomorrow there were no guns, it isn't going to affect these guys. They're going to still get their hands.
The financial collapse of Britain's fifth biggest airline, Monarch, has hit the travel plans of 860,000 of its passengers. Flights are being put on to return those currently stuck abroad. The Luton-based carrier employs around 2,100 people. Cabin manager Sarah Todd says she's devastated.
I feel a bit lost. I don't really know what to do with myself now because Monarch was my life. I've worked for them for 12 years. And I don't really know what to do with myself. I've not had a chance to even process the thought that I don't have a job.
A Conservative Party conference event featuring Jacob Rees-Mogg has descended into chaos. Protesters chanting Tories out have mobbed the high-profile backbencher, challenging him on his opposition to abortion. Claims of Spanish police brutality during yesterday's banned independence referendum in Catalonia will be investigated. Thousands of Spanish officers were bussed into the region, but footage shows some attacking members of the public and even local firefighters. And Thursday's strike on the London Underground will affect football fans travelling for the England match. Chiltern Railway says for safety reasons, its trains won't be stopping at Wembley Stadium.
Talk Radio national weather.
Windy in northern areas with some blustery showers. Elsewhere will be dry and breezy but some rain as well. Highs of 17 degrees.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Victoria with us throughout the afternoon, of course, bringing us more information as it unfolds. You're listening to Talk Radio Sport next.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
With Selco Builders Warehouse. Hundreds of trade brands in stock. Selco's got it.
Selco is where the trade goes.
Good afternoon, I'm John Howick. Former Southampton and Liverpool striker Ricky Lambert has retired from professional football. The 35-year-old has been without a club since leaving Cardiff in the summer. Lambert says scoring for England was probably his proudest moment and that playing at the 2014 World Cup was beyond his wildest dreams. Speaking of England, Phil Jones and Fabian Delph haven't trained today with the national side. They'll be assessed by medical staff ahead of Thursday's World Cup qualification game against Slovenia. Everton's majority shareholder Farhad Moshiri has told TalkSport under pressure boss Ronald Koeman has his total support. A 1-0 home defeat to Burnley was their fourth loss in five Premier League games. And in tennis, Britain's Aliash Bedenay is into the second round of the China Open. He beat Spain's Marcel Granollers 6-4, 6-2 to set up a meeting with Roberto Bautista Agut. Carl Edmonds also in the draw. He'll start with a tough tie against second seed Alexander Zverev. That's your sports news powered by TalkSport.
There's the sport for you. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. We'll be talking Monarch Airlines next.
Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, Monarch Airlines, then, is or rather was the UK's fifth largest carrier. But as of 4am this morning, it was announced they'd gone into administration, stranding 110,000 people abroad, 300,000 future bookings cancelled. It's like Ryanair then, isn't it? Except, you know, one, they're still operating, and that's about standard for them, and B, people liked Monarch. But it does mean, of course, that the biggest peacetime repatriation is going to have to take place. Rescue plans being put in place to get those that are stranded abroad home. On the line is Richard Stevenson. He's from the Civil Aviation Authority. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon.
So, busy day for you then.
It's been a very busy day. As you said, we've launched today, you know, one of the biggest operations, and, you know, to go and get 110,000 people from all across the Mediterranean and beyond. We are looking at a program of 700 flights over the course of the next 2 weeks. We've got more than 30 aircraft in our fleet, and we'll be flying to 34 destinations all over the place. But our real focus right now is to make sure that we are bringing as much help and support to all of the people who have been affected by this morning.
Indeed. I mean, talk us through how it works, because this, as I said, it's the biggest repatriation in peacetime. You know, you've got to fly these people home. Whose planes are they? Who is it flying them home? Is it other carriers? Do you take control of Monarch at this point? Or how does it work?
No, we haven't taken control of Monarch. That is now in the hands of the administrators. And what we've done is we've been talking to aviation partners all around the world, talking about the capacity that might exist in the aviation market. And we have basically bought some of those planes across to the UK and across to Europe from other airlines based in the Middle East, based in Europe, based in America, to bring together this fleet of more than 30 aircraft to help us run this operation.
I see. But as Monarch's air planes are on the ground, once a company like goes into administration, those planes are presumably untouchable, are they? You can't just get pilots in to fly those planes to get the people.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yes. I mean, once a company goes into administration, then, you know, there are all sorts of complications that would prevent us from using their particular fleet. So, yeah, we had to go out there and find this new fleet of planes from all over the place to help us run this operation.
And do you have contingency plans? I mean, people have been, I guess, suggesting this might come because people following this would have followed Monarch's financial woes over the last couple of months. So it was to be expected. So you'd already started planning this, presumably.
Well, we have contingency plans in place for all sorts of different things, and we've been doing a lot of work over the last few years in general, really, to hone our response to the kind of situation that we found ourselves in over the last 24 hours or so. And because of all the work that we've done, we've been able to launch this operation very, very quickly. And as I say, you know, we've been running the first day of our operation today. We had planes in the air in the early hours of this morning, and by lunchtime. Actually, I think even before lunchtime, we had the first planes back here in the UK, bringing the first 300 or 400 people back to the UK. So this operation started incredibly quickly. It's gone very smoothly today. But, you know, I have to just remind everybody that this is a 2-week program. And, you know, in aviation, there are always going to be bumps in the road. And, you know, although today has gone very well, or even in the sky, turbulence in the sky. Yeah. But although it's gone very well today and very smoothly, you know, and we hope that this program will be run incredibly efficiently over the next couple of weeks, we do ask people just to bear with us if they are impacted by this, because, you know, we will do our very best to get everybody home as close to the original time they were due to be home. But it's not going to be plain sailing all the way.
No, lots of bits of transport coming into your description. Exactly. Sailing, planes, roads,
everything.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? People are, you know, the advice, I think, is if you are on holiday, stay on holiday.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, I think for people who are overseas, the one thing to remember is that, you know, we are doing everything to make sure that those planes are there to bring you back at the end of your holiday. So stay in your hotel, enjoy your holiday, do everything you wanted to do on your holiday, and then check our new website, which is monarch.caa.co.uk. And that website will have all of the details you need to find the details of your replacement flight that will bring you back. As I say, we're not going to bring anybody back before their original departure time, but do check that website, you know, 2 or 3 days before you're due to return, and the details of your replacement flight should be available by then.
People are going to lose money inevitably, aren't they?
Well, the people who are flying back during our 2-week flying program, which is the rest of this week and next week, are going to be returned to the UK at absolutely no additional cost to them. So the clear majority of those 110,000 people you referred to are actually going to get back to the UK, you know, on these alternative flights at no additional cost to them. There will be a small number of people who will still be abroad after that 2-week flying program. And if some of those people are at all protected, which they will be, then they also will be flown back because the at all protection will ensure that they are.
Yeah.
And there will then, of course, be some people who aren't at all protected. And again, on the website, monarch.caa.co.uk, there's information for those people and some advice and help to point them in the right direction as to what they should do next.
I didn't realise till this morning when I was reading about it that not all travel insurance covers the collapse of travel companies. I was reading an interview with somebody who was saying that they'd found out this morning that their insurance wasn't going to cover a collapsed company. And I didn't realise, I assumed that was just sort of built in, but that's not the case, is it?
It's not the case, no. We found that there are a number of travel insurance policies that actually exclude things like insolvencies. And, you know, there are options when you buy travel insurance sometimes to actually buy an add-on to that policy that would cover you for this kind of eventuality. But no, we found that travel insurance is something that can't really be relied on in this kind of a situation when a company goes into administration.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be quite surprised to hear that. What is it that's led to this, for those that don't know, with Monarch? Because obviously it's about money, clearly. They've been, Monarch as a short-haul operator, have been squeezed by a very open market because of the destinations changing, and then Monarch opened that up. Of course, going to Spain, Portugal, but then into Turkey and Egypt. And then that started to drop off, didn't it? Which meant prices kept coming down and they couldn't get enough bums on seats on the planes.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that this is a very competitive market. The aviation industry is very competitive indeed. But I think the one thing to be very clear about is that this was very much a decision of the board of directors at Monarch to put this company into administration at this time because they didn't see the future for the business. And that really is something that they decided to do after, you know, exploring absolutely every possible option to keep the business going.
Yeah. And what is it about, what's the operating model that Ryanair, what's the difference between Monarch and Ryanair? Because people, you know, have been hearing about Ryanair, which I guess people slightly took their eye off the Monarch ball because of the Ryanair getting all the headlines. But, you know, they can wear, they're so in profit, they can take this big fine that has been dished out to them. And what is it about the operating models that were different?
I think the aviation industry is a complex industry, and just because you've got some carriers who you might describe as budget carriers or low cost carriers or whichever other name you want to give them, you know, those business models aren't always the same. But I think in this particular case, there is no doubt that there's been there have been price wars. It's a very competitive market, and you know, unfortunately, this morning we saw this particular company go into administration following that decision by the board of directors.
And what does happen next to the employees, to the planes even, that are now sitting on the ground? What's the procedure?
Well, that's now very much in the hands of the administrators. KPMG were appointed as the administrators, and you know, all of us here at the CAA, you know, obviously our hearts go out to everybody who worked at Monarch. That's a company that's been in the industry for many, many years. You know, many of us remember going on holiday with this company when we were kids.
I think I had my first abroad holiday with Monarch. I think I went on a school trip skiing from Luton Airport, I seem to remember.
Exactly, and there are many, many people who have those very fond memories of flying, you know, with this company. And as I say, everybody here, our hearts go out to the people who worked for Monarch, because this is a very sad day, you know, for those people.
And it's a final question, really. So we know the website, monarch.caa.co.uk. And what and going forward, your role, once everyone is back home, and has been repatriated, as we're talking about, do you then, as the CAA, step away from it, or do you still have to be there overseeing what does happen next?
Now, our focus for the next 2 weeks is to make sure that this flying program runs as efficiently as possible, and that we get everybody back to the United Kingdom as close to their original departure time as possible. And that's really what we're going to focus on. I'm sure that in the weeks ahead, there will be many questions and there will be many answers for us to find in relation to those questions. But right now, our focus is just on offering every ounce of support that we can to all of those people who have been impacted by this, and doing all we can to help.
Of course. And very finally, the 4 a.m. time this morning that it was announced, this was because that was the only time there weren't any Monarch planes in the air. So that was the only time it could be done. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my understanding. Again, you know, aviation is a complex industry, and it is certainly my understanding that, you know, having all of those planes back in the United Kingdom meant that would be the most appropriate time for this to happen.
I see. All right, listen, Richard, thank you very much for talking to us. Richard Stevenson from the Civil Aviation Authority there on the collapse of Monarch today. Now, if you are affected in any way, if you are on holiday, and why wouldn't you be listening to Talk Radio on a sunbed, then there's a website. It's a brand new website. It's not Monarch's original website. It's one that the CAA have set up today. It's monarch.caa.co.uk. So if you're on holiday or you had a holiday booked, all of the advice that you could possibly need will be on there at monarch.caa.co.uk. Now, if you are just joining us, here's what's happening today. We're bringing you a slightly different show to usual, partly, in no small part really, due to this shooting in Las Vegas overnight. More than 50 people killed, 406 injured are the latest figures. We know the gunman killed himself as the police stormed his room, 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel on the Strip in Las Vegas. We are talking about that this afternoon, because it is still developing, as you'd expect. We are talking Tory party conference. Alex Dibble is in Manchester for us, and they're, of course, talking Monarch as well. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. Traffic and travel on the way.
Talk Radio.
Contact Talk Radio. Call 0344 499 1000. Text Talk and your message to 87222. Text costs 25p plus your standard network rate. Or you can tweet us at Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
At Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles, we understand how important it is to choose the right van for your business. So not only does the Volkswagen Transporter have city emergency braking as standard, meaning you're less likely to be involved in an accident, it also now comes with two free services and is available on contract hire for just £229 a month. That's right, you're in van heaven. Search Volkswagen Transporter to find out more. Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles, working with you. 36-month term, £1,374 initial rental and 20% VAT. Business users only, 18s and over, until 2nd of January 2018. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Volkswagen Commercial Vehicle Financial Services.
Winston Wolfe, Direct Line. You're Harry the Plumber.
Yeah?
A successful small businessman like yourself needs protection. Meet Lars and Vlad. They're big.
Hello!
Big shot lawyers, that is. See, they create and check legal documents that you can download. So you're covered. And this legal document service comes with your Direct Line insurance.
Wow.
Yeah.
Direct Line's public liability insurance includes a legal document service. Can your insurance do that? Search Direct Line Public Liability Insurance. New and existing customers underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Selco Builders Warehouse proudly presents Selco's Deal of the Week.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the train goes.
Get down to your nearest Selco this week and get an 8-metre roll of IKO Tort on green cap sheet, only £24.99 ex-VAT. But hurry, this offer ends 8th of October. Find your nearest branch at selcobw.com.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the train go.
Ooh, glad I brought a coat. Thinking ahead, Wilbur?
Huh?
Well, it's like getting home care from British Gas before winter catches you out. From only £12 a month, that's less than 40p a day. Your boiler's serviced every year. If it still breaks down, we'll fix it.
Ah!
And until 23rd of October, you get 1 month free on most home care products when you buy online. You brought the umbrella. Ah, thinking ahead. Not bad for a penguin. Stay a step ahead of winter. Search British Gas Home Care. Conditions apply.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Stephen Saunders received £1,856 on his credit card.
I wasn't sure whether I'd pay PPI on my credit card. Stanson Fisher did everything for me and took control of the claim.
But the claim deadline is set for August 2019. So text check to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI?
That's check to 80800.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
County Durham, where the A19 in Middlesbrough is busy south at the Port Track interchange, where a vehicle has broken down. A similar problem is affecting the clockwise M60 between junction 16 and 17 near Pendlebury. One lane's closed there. Another stranded vehicle on the M6 south near Birmingham means some heavy traffic, junction 6 to 5, which should be between Spaghetti and the exit for Castle Brom. And through Sedgebrook in Lincolnshire, some restrictions for both sides of the A52 after a serious accident, but police are now allowing you past the scene. I'm Jarena Adams.
Apologies to Dave T-Dog 86, but McDonald's doesn't make its beef burgers by combining loads of weird bits and bobs. Nor are they made from 12-legged space cows or the sawdust from deciduous trees. So apologies to Ali 1996 and At Jack's the 74. The truth is a bit dull, really. McDonald's burgers are made from 100% beef. There are no additives, fillers or flavour enhancers. Just a pinch of salt and pepper after they've been cooked. Boring perhaps, but true. As is the fact they're only served after 10:30 a.m. If you want to find out more, search McDonald's Good to Know.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney. Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney.
Weekday afternoons from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
The latest on the shooting in Las Vegas, then. We know 50 people killed, 406 people injured and taken to hospital. The police were alerted to the Wright hotel room, it seems, we're just getting this now, by the smoke alarms going off due to the flashes from the rifle, due to the gun smoke from this high-powered weapon he was using. When they forcibly entered the room, he shot himself. It's the deadliest mass shooting in recent American history. You'll have seen, I'm sure, some of the footage and on the soundtrack of a lot of that footage of people in the crowd at that concert which this sniper was taking aim at. The sound of that automatic gunfire, which is, you know, we only hear it in films, of course, really, in this country. And so when you hear something like that, it always comes as a little bit of a shock, the reality of it, I suppose. And then, although we were talking earlier, what possesses people to then start filming it all as they're running away for their lives? I've got no idea. But anyway, Raj Basso is a consultant psychiatrist. Of course, he's been on the show before. You'll know him. Raj, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's talk a little bit about the psychology of this, because people are saying, as they do always when this happens in the current state of the world, is like, oh, well, all right, it's a terror attack over here. And before we knew the identity of the government, people were speculating as to whether this was one of these, you know, Islamic fundamentalist attacks or what it was. At the end of the day, people are dead for a reason. And the reason is down to the whim of whoever has decided to kill them. We sort of know with an attack based on religion, I suppose, broadly, what the end game is. It's to kill people who aren't Muslim in the case of the Islamic attacks. But in the case of something like this, what psychologically is the motive for this kind of thing, if indeed there is one?
Well, you absolutely put your finger on it, which is there's a distinction between two kinds of mass killings like this. The first one is political, a terrorist incident where there's an attempt to bring about some kind of political change or raise political awareness. So there's a political ideology that goes behind it. But this is a very different kind of attack from what we can tell so far. And this is the kind of attack you tend to see particularly in America, partly because of the access to guns that people have. And I understand this occurred in a state which has one of the most relaxed sets of gun laws in the United States.
That's right, yeah.
But with this kind of attack, you're generally speaking dealing with someone who is extremely disgruntled and upset and probably, not always, probably has some kind of mental health problem that has been flagged up in the past. Now, that obviously is not to say that people with mental health problems are dangerous or violent, but in with mass killings of this kind, there is a higher rate of some kind of mental health background issue. And the best way, I think, to think about this is to compare it with, for want of a better word, a normal homicide. In a normal homicide, you've developed a fear or a hatred or a pathological hatred towards a particular individual who's done you wrong in some way. Let's say your wife betrayed you or left you, and you pursue her and then you kill her. So there's a hatred devoted towards one person because of something they did to you, and often it's an act of revenge. Now, in this particular case where someone takes out 50 people or a large number of people, what's happened is there's no one individual they've developed a hatred or resentment towards. It's a community. And usually you'll find there's a link between the group of people he's targeted and what the disgruntlement is about. So it's no accident this was a pop concert of some description. There'll be some link between this particular event, i.e. the fact that there's a particular kind of person that turns up to a pop concert and why he picked that particular place to go after these people.
Yeah, often these are called random killings, aren't they, in the sense that the people they kill, yes, are random. But what you're saying is, and I think that's right, is that something unites those people because they are in a particular place, and then you've got a person willing to do that group of people or what they stand for harm.
Yes. Well, for example, if you take the Virginia Tech killer, which happened a few years ago, that was a student that became very disgruntled about what he saw, and by the way, he did have a past psychiatric history as well, but what he saw as the fact that the students around him seemed to be more popular, seemed to be dating each other, seemed to have more money than him, and he became very resentful for that fact they all seemed to have a life and he didn't. So he went and shot a lot of students. And again, there was another famous example and several famous examples in America of an ex-employee, someone gets the sack at work, then turns up the next day and shoots everyone in the office, or in particular targeting the boss. So again, what you're seeing is a disgruntlement and a resentment towards a particular community because of something you feel they've done to you. So there is a pattern that emerges over and over again with these incidents.
Those, the ones you've described, seem to be more understandable. Not acceptable, of course, but certainly more understandable. This one, however, it's slight at this stage. I mean, it's early days, of course, but it's hard to see what it could be. Because when we've had concert attacks before, Manchester, of course, recently here, springing to mind, it's about a gathering of people. And in the case of that attack, you know, it was young people who were enjoying something that is of a Western value, for example. This, however, you know, unless he's got a particular thing against country music, what could it possibly be that's made him target that group?
Well, I mean, there are all sorts of different possibilities. It could be a disgruntlement because he was rejected in some way by the industry. Let us say he had a job at a record label, for example, or maybe was a failed musician or thrown out of a band. There are all sorts of different links between a disgruntlement and a rejection and a decision to attack community. Or it may be the value system of people who turn up to pop concerts, going back to the Manchester point. These people will tend to be more liberal, perhaps a bit more left-wing, perhaps have a different attitude towards drugs, etc., etc., etc. So, you know, there could be a connection in that way. But you will find it's not random in the sense that he just decided to take a lot of people out. There'll be something about that group of people that's linked in some way, in the warped way in which these people think, to some rejection or humiliation that he himself has experienced in the past.
Okay. And in terms of his background, there are already stories emerging that he wasn't necessarily known to police, but was known in certain circles. And in America, you have to have, and this is an illegal gun he had, let's point that out for a start. And you're right about Nevada having these lax gun laws, but in America now you do have to have certain background checks still when you buy guns, is that right?
Yes, I mean, I worked in America for a while, but to be honest, there's so many, I mean, I think, I can't remember what the statistics are, but even a billion, there may be a billion guns in America. I mean, it's just very easy to get hold of them. And even if they are background checks, they're relatively simple to get around. It's much more difficult than here in the UK. To get a shotgun license, for example, here in the UK, you have to have a medical person sign you off, plus the police come around and visit you at home. And I'm not sure that happens in America. And there's a lot of psychology behind the police coming and visiting you at home, because when they see you at home, they get a sense of what your mental state is like, for example. So when we try to think now about how to stop these terrible tragedies occurring, the research evidence is that definitely constraining gun laws is the way to go. And if you look at Australia had gun laws that were quite similar in the lax sense of the US. And then after a couple of tragic incidents just like this in Australia, they dramatically tightened up their gun laws to make it almost like Britain, and these incidents just stopped. And of course, the trouble is that the culture in America will not be sympathetic to that. The only other thing that you can do is try to improve mental health services, because over and over again, what you find is that these people have made some contact with mental health services, but it never got followed up. And there is a theory that if we improve mental health services as well, that could go some way towards reducing the incidence of this sort of thing. But primarily, the key action point would be in the gun law situation.
And just on a final note, connected to that, when Obama started talking about bringing in a law suggesting that anyone buying a gun should have their medical background looked at, particularly their psychiatric medical background, and that met with opposition because there were gun owners who said, well, hang on a minute, I was a bit depressed once and I went to see someone about it. There was, you know, and people coming home from, who were in the military, coming home from war and stuff, who, you know, having post-traumatic stress, but said, you know, why should one visit to a psychiatrist stop me owning a gun? And there was no grey area there. It was a case of, right, if you've had a history of, or even one visit to a psychiatrist, that will be on your record, you won't be able to have a gun. That was where the clash came, it seemed.
Yes, and of course that kind of thing can backfire, which is that people who really ought to go and see a psychiatrist probably won't or postpone it because they're worried about the impact on various things, like getting a gun license. And of course we've seen this famously with pilots. Pilots are scared of mentioning depression to their doctor in case it goes on their record and then counts against them in terms of their career. So what we need is for people with mental health difficulties to feel able to go and confide in them with a professional without fearing some terrible consequence. So I think actually the best thing to do is to take more the British view or the European view of gun law, which is to constrain them much more dramatically. And you have to demonstrate a special interest. And for example, in Britain, you have to be a member of a gun club, etc., etc. You have to have quite a clear interest in shooting as a sport, clay pigeon shooting, etc., etc., to be allowed to have a gun. In America, that is not the case.
Okay, Dr. Raj Basu, consultant psychiatrist, thank you very much indeed. This is Talk Radio in the Afternoons. We are bringing you a different show today, mainly in a large part because of this shooting in Las Vegas. More than 50 people killed, 406 people injured. We now know that the gunman turned the gun on himself rather than the police shooting him. With the very latest on it all, though, and other stuff, 2:33, Victoria's got the headlines on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
More than 50 people have died and 400 have been injured in America's worst mass shooting. A gunman fired an automatic weapon at people attending a concert from a high-rise hotel in Las Vegas. Police say they found the shooter, 64-year-old Stephen Paddock, dead with at least 10 guns. Sheriff Joe Lombardo says they're no longer looking for a female friend of his.
She was not with him when he checked in. We have discovered he was utilizing some of her identification. And we've had conversation with her, and we believed her at this time not to be involved. But obviously, that investigation will continue.
Special flights are being laid on for Monarch customers after the travel company went bust overnight. 110,000 people woke up this morning to find they were stranded abroad. Ministers say the rollout of universal credit won't be paused despite criticism. It combines a number of benefit payments into one, but many claimants have been facing long delays. Meanwhile, protesters have challenged Conservative MP Jacob Rees-Mogg during an event at the Tory party conference. One of the demonstrators challenged the backbencher about reports he profited from an abortion drug, despite him saying he's opposed to terminations in all circumstances. And almost a third of workers in London's financial district aren't British, and that's causing concern ahead of Brexit. The City of London Corporation, which governs the so-called Square Mile, is demanding more clarity about the status of staff when the UK leaves the EU. The weather windy in the north today with blustery showers, elsewhere dry and breezy with the rain later on, highs of 17 degrees. There's more news in 25 minutes.
Victoria with us throughout the afternoon, bringing us the latest. Of course, thank you, Victoria. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, slightly different show for you today. We're bringing you coverage of the developing story in Las Vegas. That gunman named as Stephen Paddock. As you've been hearing, he was found dead in the hotel room, having turned the gun on himself, which is the phrase they always use, of course. The police got to the room because of the smoke alarms going off on that floor due to, obviously, the smoke from the gun he was firing, which was an illegal machine gun. 50 people dead, 406 in hospital. It's the worst mass shooting on American soil in this way in history. We'll return to it because it is a developing story, but we will also now return to Manchester, where Philip Hammond, it's the Tory party conference, of course, last week we brought you continued coverage, and rightly so, of the Labour Party conference. The Tories are having their moment in the sun in Manchester, although given Manchester, it's probably not much sun. But anyway, Philip Hammond has done his speech this morning, widely expected, of course, the things he said, having also said this morning that all ministers are sackable, but he's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. His speech is deemed important. Let's find out a little bit of what he's been saying.
Concerns of millions of households impatient at the long slog back from Labour's recession. We hear them and we will respond to them. But we can only do so by harnessing the power of the market economy to deliver a brighter future. And that means refighting a battle we thought we had won against an opposition determined to put Britain's prosperity at risk. We will not let that happen. We will not allow Britain's prosperity to be threatened, our security to be undermined. We will take on the false promises of Corbyn's Labour, and one by one, we will expose them for the fallacies that they are. We will not allow the past to triumph over the future. We will not allow the politics of fear to trump the politics of progress. Conference, the Conservative Party is the most successful political organisation in history, flexible and adaptable, responding to a changing world, but resolute and unmoving in its principles and values. We will see off this threat to our fundamental freedoms. We will deliver on our promise to the next generation. We will do it together, and we will do it for Britain. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, compared to Corbyn, I'd say light on jokes. Now, Alex Dibble is in Manchester for us. Of course, we spoke to him earlier. He's on the line again. Alex, how's Philip Hammond's speech been received?
Good afternoon, John. Yeah, it's been received relatively well here, but as you can hear and as you just mentioned, he's not quite the orator or the public speaker that perhaps many people would like him to be, but then he's never claimed that that's what he's all about. He's about getting the job done and being a man, a steady hand over the economy. But as you sort of picked up in that clip which ended his speech, he did spend a lot of time having a go at Jeremy Corbyn and Labour. He referred to Corbyn's Marxist policies that will inevitably lead us back to where Britain was in the late 1970s. He said in 1975 inflation reached 26.9%. He referred to the brain drain of doctors, scientists, teachers leaving Labour's utopia, he described, for a better life elsewhere, and top rates of income tax at 83%. So he was trying to paint out the Labour's socialism under Corbyn as something that's inevitably going to lead to disaster. And of course, most people at the Tory party conference agree with the Chancellor, Philip Hammond, on that one.
It did seem from that little clip we heard there, and I know he was talking for much longer than that, but it just seemed a little bit muted in the room compared to the speeches we heard, which, you know, we sort of had crowd interaction, even on minor points that didn't deserve it. They're all getting bits of applause down in Brighton for Labour. Whereas that just felt a little bit, I don't know. I know, as you say, he's not a great orator in that sense. But the reaction from the audience didn't seem to be behind him that much.
No, but I also think that it may be something to do with the type of politics that Labour and the Conservatives are trying to do. You know, the Conservatives are attempting this steady hand, this strong and stable leadership, which I know was thrown back in Theresa May's face, but Nevertheless, that is what they're trying to do. And it's not exciting, in inverted commas, because they're saying there is an incredibly serious job to do and we need to do it well, and it's Brexit and the future of our country is at stake. And so that doesn't quite attract the excitement and the clapping and the standing ovations and the mood that, you know, we will put power, we'll give more money back into public services, we'll etc. that Labour are doing, and that inevitably feeds a greater sort of excitement and jubilation, I think. And that's just how I see it in the way I've received, I've seen the different speeches last week and this week being received.
And who else is going to be speaking today? What are we looking forward to?
We're looking forward to Michael Gove, I believe, speaking this afternoon, a couple of other people. The rundown doesn't really provide the times, but they just say who's talking.
So
over the next couple of days, Boris Johnson will be the big one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Everyone waiting to hear what he has to say from the front. And then, of course, Theresa May on Wednesday. But there are so many fringe events. You'd be forgiven for thinking that the main speeches at the party conferences are what every single person who is here wants to hear and is desperate to try and get in the auditorium. The reality is that there are so many fringe events, like the one I've just been at with Ruth Davidson, the leader of the Conservatives in Scotland, that quite often you can have, and this was the case a moment ago, Philip Hammond, the Chancellor, doing a speech in the main building, and yet there's far more attention on a fringe event going on at the building next door.
Yeah.
So it's a strange dynamic in that way.
And what is it that you think you can, and having been to them, you learn more from fringe events? I mean, are they a little bit, because I've been to conference before, but I don't think I've been to a fringe event. I've only ever been sort of in the main bits or whatever. What's the, you know, because obviously they're competing in for time, which is the nation of a fringe event, I know, but what's the mood in a fringe event compared to that main hall, would you say, overall?
Yeah, it's a good question, because there are so many fringe events. I mean, if we were on telly, I'd hold up the party conference manual and show you that nearly two-thirds of it, in fact probably more, is dedicated to all the fringe events that are happening across the city during the party conference. And what you tend to get is that you get the politicians who do appear at those. Many don't have politicians appearing, but the ones that do, you generally have them speaking slightly more candidly, slightly more honestly, and being themselves, allowing a bit more personality to come out than they may do if they were making a speech in the main auditorium. So, for example, last week I was at an event called Breaking the Habit with Russell Brand and the Shadow Health Secretary, John Ashworth. He was very honest and open about his own alcoholic father. And Ruth Davidson just now being asked very direct questions about her leadership credentials or desires, if you like, saying, you know, I just think being the Prime Minister would be the loneliest job in the world and I don't want it. Mm. And therefore, you might have a line like that coming out of a fringe event that maybe, as I said, they wouldn't say if they were standing up front in front of a couple of thousand people in the main auditorium.
Yeah, and I understand you met Jim Davidson yesterday, is that right?
I met him this afternoon.
This afternoon, beg your pardon. Because obviously, yes. Russell Brand last week, Jim Davidson this week.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting to bump into comedians in the party conferences, but it's been good to you meet all sorts of people, and Jim Davidson was here talking about veterans and reoffending rates amongst veterans who are in prison. That's something that he's passionate about. He's involved in that.
Yeah.
But he also said that he does enjoy the party conference atmosphere and the mood and going out and having a drink and trying to speak to politicians, even though they've got about 10 seconds for each person they bump into over the course of the conference.
And final question, because we did ask you this last week, so it seems only right and balanced that we do, because we spoke about the attendance level of the bars down in Brighton, full of Labour people. I know it's early days, we're only on sort of the Monday of the conference, but what's the drinking levels like in the evenings?
Well, delegates are having a good time, I can tell you that much. They are Tory party sort of members and very keen, travel all over the country to be here. And the ministers and the cabinet secretaries are all in the Midland Hotel, which is, if you don't know the Midland Hotel in Manchester, it's a grand old building, which is just next to the auditorium where the conference is being held. And all sorts of frivolity, I believe is the word, going on there of an evening.
All right, Alex, thank you very much indeed. Enjoy the frivolity later with Jimmy Davidson. Right, it's 3:15. That's Alex at the Tory party conference, in Manchester. We've just learned, by the way, that Donald Trump will be speaking about the incident in Las Vegas, possibly in around 45 minutes' time. When he does, we will bring that to you. Of course, it'll be interesting to see what he has to say, given his slightly vague tweets about it today. Next, we will be talking about Catalonia. You'll be aware, I'm sure, over the weekend. It's certainly on the front of all the papers today, because these other incidents have happened rather too late for the papers. But Catalonia, over the weekend, police raiding polling stations, dragging ballot boxes out of the schools that were being used as polling stations, clashing, although not so much clashing as preventing people from exercising a right to vote. Clash suggests there's people clashing from both sides, but that's not really the case with this story. Anyway, we will be finding out about it, what's going on and why it's happened next on Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Get ready to feel flush with success on The James Whale Show, tomorrow night from 7 on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. James will be joined by another man who's never short of an opinion, Pimlico Plumbers flamboyant CEO and founder, Charlie Mullins, for an in-depth look at the current challenges facing small business owners and entrepreneurs. Don't miss Flush with Success, tomorrow night from 7 on The James Whale Show on Talk Radio with Pimlico Plumbers. More than just plumbers.
This unsavory creature, called the Monster Bill, makes its home in motor vehicles, where the Monster Bill's voracious appetite for money slowly drives the owners, who can't be bothered to switch their car insurance company, bananas. But could the Monster Bill now be at risk of extinction from its one natural and powerful predator?
Go compare! Rawr! Just go visit them today! Keep that Monster Bill at bay! Yes, before you go bananas, go compare!
It's here. It's one of over 1,000 great used vans, and it could be yours.
What's that coming over the hill? Van Monster! Van Monster!
Van Monster has a huge choice of used vans across the UK, all with 6 months' warranty and the Van Monster price match guarantee. Like these 2014 Ford Transit Customs from under £9,000 plus 20% VAT. Find your next van right now at vanmonster.com.
18 plus, begambleaware.org. Introducing the new sports betting experience at Mr Green, including new site layout, navigation and stats on the big events. Experience it for yourself by joining Mr. Green Sports today. Looking for a bet? Ask for Mr. Green. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. You can bet your
dollar down on Mr. Green. Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Through Stockton on Tees, the southbound A19 approaching the Port Track interchange is busy because of a broken down vehicle. There's a similar problem affecting the northbound M6 between 18 for Middlewich and junction 19. A vehicle's also broken down on the southbound M6 near Birmingham between junction 6 and 5. One lane is closed, so busy past that. West of Grantham in Lincolnshire, restrictions for A52 through Sedgebrook after a serious accident, but the road is open. And through Ely in Cambridgeshire, Station Road, A142 is currently blocked by a level crossing failure right outside the train station. I'm Joanna Adams.
There are some interesting stories about what McDonald's chicken McNuggets are made from. Are they really a delicate combination of everything from beaks to tree bark? Or the result of years of experimenting with top-secret alien chickens found on a crashed UFO in Area 51? No, they're not. Sorry. Chicken McNuggets are actually made from 100% chicken breast meat, and the chickens aren't 10 feet tall, able to yodel in B-flat or pink and orange striped either. They're just chickens. If you want to try a McNugget, they're served after 10:30 a.m. And if you want to find out more, search McDonald's Good to Know.
Sons of Scotland, let me ask you one question. Would you be willing to trade all your days for one chance, just one chance, to come back and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
I don't really have an opinion on that, Biggin.
Julia Hartley Brewer's always got an opinion, whether you like it or not.
Get your war face on for 3 hours of hand-to-hand debate and more combat-ready opinion than you could shake a dirty great sword at.
Julia Hartley Brewer, tomorrow morning from 10 on Talk Radio.
Can I go and wash my face?
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney!
Weekday afternoons from 4
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Now, we are bringing you a different show today. We make no apology for it. We do this when a big and fairly tragic news story happens. We've done it before with terror attacks, Grenfell certainly. And today it seems right to do it as well, due to this mass shooting in the United States of America in Las Vegas, where this gunman has killed upwards of 50 people, 406 in hospital. It happened at a concert on the Las Vegas Strip, where the gunman opened fire on that concert. 22,000 people were at it from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. As I say, if you know Vegas at all, you'll know that's down the end of the Strip, down by the Luxor, the Pyramid Hotel down there. We are bringing you more as we get it. It is a developing story. Things keep changing, but stay tuned to Talk Radio for the very latest. But we're going to move across to Spain now, where over the weekend, you'll be aware as well, I'm sure, of these sort of police breaking up people just trying to go and vote in this referendum vote in Catalonia. It is an illegal referendum. It's an illegal vote, and that's why the police have been ordered to go in and clamp down on it. But it's not quite as simple as all that. Now, we are very lucky at Talk Radio to have someone, as regular listeners will know, who is from that region and knows about it. So why not talk to somebody who knows what she's talking about? Marta, hello.
Hello, John.
So these were shocking scenes over the weekend, really.
They were horrendous and appalling scenes that we saw in Barcelona and all over Catalonia yesterday. As you've correctly said, there was an illegal referendum set up at independence referendum set up for yesterday. And what the Spanish government decided to do in order to prevent it from happening was to send thousands and thousands of police men and women from the National Guard, from the Civil Guard and the National Police over to Catalonia to, in theory, get all the ballot, all the referendum material, so ballot boxes, mm-hmm. Ballot papers, pencils, everything that could be used to bring to make this referendum happen, to take it away. But in the end, what it turned into is an appalling. I don't know how to say, because you were earlier right saying it wasn't violent clashes because it was just one side.
Yes, because the word clash, which I've seen used today,
yes.
And I didn't want to fall into that trap, because a clash involves well, a clash. Whereas this seemed to be the police sort of attacking people, but just using violence where the protesters weren't.
Exactly. So people were very pacifically turning up to polling stations, which were illegally set up, yes, it's true. But people were very passively turning up to these stations, being like, I'm just here to vote. They were queuing. They were singing songs. No one was being violent.
So what led to the police action? Because we've heard about rubber bullets, of course. We've heard about...
Yes, which, by the way, are illegal in Catalonia. They were made, they were outlawed about a year and a half ago.
So why are the police using illegal bullets?
Well, that's a very good question that the Spanish government will have to answer to. Although the Spanish Prime Minister, Mariano Rajoy, he did a press thing last night and he said, no, the Spanish police, they've acted with professionalism and in a proportionate way. Well, I don't think personally that 846 injured people, three of them really serious injuries, I don't think that's proportionate. Yeah. I am so sorry.
Should we have expected this? I mean, given that it is an illegal referendum, or is it the case of should the government just let it go ahead because it's non-binding, of course? It's not like anything's going to happen. So they just go, yeah, have your little vote over there. We won't do anything, but have your vote anyway. Why are they? Why did they decide to disrupt it in that?
Honestly, I think to show that they are the bigger government and that... I mean, for those who don't know about it, I'm sure you all know, so there was a dictatorship, right-wing dictatorship in Spain between 1939, Franco, between 1939 and 1975, which was characterised by scenes like the ones we saw yesterday, like police like just attacking people for no reason or just because they're thinking differently or they were getting on with their lives in different ways they wanted to.
Yeah.
So we didn't expect this to happen. What we expected was to, because the Spanish government was saying in the days coming up to referendum, it's not legal, you guys won't be able to do anything with the result, so give up. The Catalan government was like, well, we're just going to go ahead anyway. Yeah. And the thing is, the referendum was illegal, but people cannot be prosecuted for turning up to vote, even if the referendum is not binding.
Okay. Tell us a little bit of the back, because people, you know, I know people are still not quite sure of how it works in Spain. Because the idea that Catalonia as a region with its own government can have a vote in the face of the national government. Because that doesn't happen here.
I know.
So explain a little bit, if you could, about how that relationship works. Why is Catalonia this state that can have this?
Well, basically, for people to understand, Spain is divided in 17 autonomous communities, which is how we call them. So 17 different regions that in 1970, when the constitution was created, they were given some degree of autonomy, okay? And some of the communities, like the Basque Country or Catalonia, they have a wider degree of autonomy because they have their own language and they have their own culture. So, for instance, in schools, we're all brought up bilingual.
Yep.
And that's something that wouldn't happen in other regions of Spain. So
your English is getting there, by the way.
Well, thank you.
You're
so yeah, basically, all of the communities have some degree of autonomy. The problem is that in Catalonia, there's always been a pro-independence feeling that comes from all the way back in 1714, when we were told that we could not speak Catalan, that we could not play our music and have our traditions and stuff like that. So that's risen, and it's come to a point, because in 2006, we tried to, every little, it's not a state, every little community in Spain has like their... own set of laws that apply only to their community.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2006, Catalonia was like, right, we're going to rewrite laws because they hadn't written them since 1978. So they were like, they're a little bit outdated. So we want to change the way we finance ourselves, but we also going to change the way we define ourselves. We want to define ourselves as a nation within the state of Spain. And we want to get more money from the Spanish government because we're contributing loads of money, way more than any other community in Spain, and we're getting less than we think we deserve to get. So there were those points that the Spanish government did not approve. Number one, you can't get more money. And number two, you can't identify as a nation within a state because you're not a nation. You're like one of us, but there's a...
Because the government was saying, weren't they? That was the government's argument was that this is a divisive referendum, and it's people. Spain should be unified, whereas this is a division that is being created. That was the argument from there.
Yes, but I'll tell you what. The way the government, the Spanish government, has acted towards this referendum has made it even worse.
Yeah.
Because now, and this is very sad for me to say, but the Catalan society is fragmented because obviously pro-independence people want to vote and they can't, but also they resent people who are against independence for not taking the streets to fight for the right to vote as well.
Yeah, I see.
So it's come to the point in which the only way out of this, unfortunately, is to vote, but in a legal way, you know, with the Spanish government in it and doing a campaign for the no, don't leave Spain. But that's not going to happen because it's illegal. Yeah. It's not in the constitution and we don't change the constitution. So as you see, we're hitting a wall time after time. And I think Catalonia has come to the end of its tether. And it's sad.
Marta, listen, thank you. I know it's a subject very close to your heart for obvious reasons, but yes. Thank you for talking to us about it. Marta, who works here, regular listeners will know that. Marta produces the show, for goodness sake. She works on the show. But she's from that region, so it made sense to get her perspective on it. I'm sure you will agree. Now, in the next bit of the programme, we are continuing coverage of the breaking and continually developing story, really. That's not even a word, is it, continually, but you know what I mean, of the shooting in Las Vegas. 50 dead, more than 50 dead, 406 people taken to hospital. More information about the gunman is coming out. Victoria will have the latest in the news next, and we'll be chatting about it in the next hour. You're listening to Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Back to Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Ooh, winter can hit you hard if your boiler's not up to it. So make sure your home or business stays a step ahead this winter with a new boiler from British Gas for half price. You'll still get our full fixed price guarantee and our full 5-year warranty. And you'll only pay full price for the installation. Oh, and don't worry, you will get a full boiler. It's only the price we've cut in half. But hurry, this half price offer ends 31st of October. Get yours now and be a step ahead this winter. Search British Gas new boiler. Conditions apply.
When you run your own business, being in the right place at the right time can make all the difference. And as the UK's number one commercial vehicle brand, we understand this too. That's why at the Ford Transit Show live event, we'll give you a free sat-nav when you purchase a new commercial vehicle, so your business can be in the right place at the right time, every time. Visit your nearest Ford dealer between the 7th and 15th of October. Ford. Together, we go further.
The free entry-level satellite navigation system available across the Transit range, excluding base and Tourneo series vehicles, to be contracted between the 7th and 15th of October 2017 and registered between the 7th of October 2017 and 30th of June 2018. Offer available to retail and eligible fleet customers only at participating Ford dealers. Not available with any other promotions.
Darling, what's wrong?
I missed a call. It was that big order. And when I called back, he'd already gone with another supplier.
Why? Why didn't we have e-receptionist answering and directing our calls? Avoid the horror of the missed call from just 30p a day with e-receptionist. Visit ereceptionist.co.uk for your free 30-day trial.
Free trial must be cancelled within 30 days to avoid fees.
The new TradePoint catalogue is out now. Pick up your free copy today in one of our 290 stores nationwide. Trade on.
TradePoint!
Oh, Churchy, look at that snazzy new car. Like me in the glory days, before I got written off. My blinkers had that keen sparkle, and my pipes, well, don't get me started on my pipes.
Oh, no.
If your car is written off, you can choose between a replacement, paying for an upgrade, or the money.
Time to pass on the baton.
Churchill, depend on the dog.
Comprehensive cover only. Excludes theft claims. Exact match subject to availability. Minimum car value £3,500 or cash replacement. Upgrade available when difference is paid. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
In the afternoons, 2 minutes past 3 o'clock. I'm John Holmes. Victoria's got the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, 50 dead, 400 injured in Vegas shooting. Monarch customers being brought home and the third probe into the head of Police Scotland.
Talk Radio.
At least 50 people have been killed in the deadliest mass shooting in US history. More than 400 others at a country music festival have been injured after a gunman opened fire from the 32nd floor of a Las Vegas hotel. This woman was working at the event.
We thought it was fireworks, and then it just didn't stop. And then people started running. We were hiding in a beer truck. It was mass chaos.
Police say the shooter, 64-year-old Stephen Paddock, has killed himself and did have at least 10 guns. Sheriff Joe Lombardo says at this stage they don't know why he carried out the attack.
We have to establish what his motivation is first. And there's motivating factors associated with terrorism other than a distraught person just intending to cause mass casualty. Before we label with that, it'll be a matter of process.
President Trump has tweeted to send his warmest condolences and sympathies to the victims and families of those affected. More than 30 aircraft are being chartered to bring travellers home after the airline Monarch went into administration. 750,000 customers have had bookings cancelled. There's going to be an investigation into claims of Spanish police brutality during yesterday's banned independence referendum in Catalonia. The Catalan leader says a special commission will be set up after more than 800 people were injured. The Chancellor has told Labour to bring it on as he discussed how to challenge their future ideas for the country. Philip Hammond has told the Conservative Party conference that Jeremy Corbyn's vision is a political version of Jurassic Park. The Chief Constable of Police Scotland is facing a third investigation into claims of gross misconduct. Phil Gormley is already on special leave, while the Police Investigations and Review Commissioner looks into two other complaints. A fourth accusation of bullying has also been made against him. And it's claimed that sitting for long periods and carrying heavy school bags is causing almost half of children to have back problems. Researchers say huge numbers of under-14s are reporting mild to severe pain.
Is this because kids have to carry more books and stuff these days? Because that is noticeable. When I was at school, I didn't, you know, I had a book bag, but, you know, it was, but nowadays kids do seem to have to carry a lot more stuff around with them. So is that what they're saying?
I don't know the reasons why, but apparently they do have heavy bags.
Yeah, I think it's because they get more homework early on. Because when I was, you know, seven, you didn't get much homework. But now, I'm the owner of a seven-year-old. Right? And she, honestly, the books they do have to bring home, you're absolutely right. You can see them all struggling. But at least it's exercise, I say. It's like PE.
I mean, it'll help the obesity.
Well, you've got to look at the positive side of things on a dark day. It'll help the obesity crisis. Anyway, do you want to do some weather?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is.
Talk Radio National Weather.
So windy in northern areas with some blustery showers. Dry and brighter elsewhere. We're turning rainy though with highs of 17 degrees.
Talk Radio in the afternoon. Sports next.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
With Selco Builders Warehouse. Tons of stock on the shelf, all at trade prices. Selco's got it.
Selco, it's where the trade go.
Good afternoon, I'm John Howick. Former Southampton and Liverpool striker Ricky Lambert has retired from professional football. The 35-year-old has been without a club since leaving Cardiff in the summer. Lambert says scoring for England was probably his proudest moment and that playing at the 2014 World Cup was beyond his wildest dreams. Speaking of England, Phil Jones and Fabian Delph haven't trained today with the national side. They'll be assessed by medical staff ahead of Thursday's World Cup qualification game against Slovenia. Everton's majority shareholder Farhad Moshiri has told TalkSport under pressure boss Ronald Koeman has his total support. A 1-0 home defeat to Burnley was their fourth loss in five Premier League games. And in tennis, Britain's Aliash Bedenay is into the second round of the China Open. He beat Spain's Marcel Granollers 6-4, 6-2 to set up a meeting with Roberto Bautista Agut. Carl Edmonds also in the draw. He'll start with a tough tie against second seed Alexander Zverev. That's your sports news powered by TalkSport.
That's the sports news powered by TalkSport. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Now, there will be more on that story, developing story of 50 people killed, of course, 406 injured in Las Vegas in that shooting overnight. The man we know responsible, who they have now said killed himself in the hotel room. He had more than 10 guns around him when police managed to get into the building. 64-year-old Stephen Paddock is his name. We don't know so much about him yet. We know he's local to the area. But as I say, it's a developing story. We'll bring you more as we get get it. Also, Donald Trump will be speaking at around 3:30 our time. We will take that speech for you, or part of it anyway, if he does, to see what he's got to say about it. And if it makes a nice change from just sending a tweet. The Tory party conference is happening in Manchester this week. It's their turn after Labour's down in Brighton last week. Last week we spoke to Rupert Myers, GQ's political correspondent and friend of the show, to talk us through the Labour one. It seems only right and proper and balanced that we get him back again to talk us through the Tory one. Good afternoon, Rupert.
Good afternoon.
So I know you're on the way there today, so you've missed Hammond's speech, but I know you know what it's all about and what's been going on. So what's your take on it?
I think the people in the audience have missed Hammond's speech by all accounts. I mean, it's the problem that he has is that he was sort of kept in a box earlier this year during the general election, and he's now in the very difficult position of being Mr. Sensible at the Tories' top table. And while there are queues of people around every block to watch Jacob Rees-Mogg at his fringe events, and Boris Johnson is obviously pulling out the big guns in terms of his media appearances and writing, poor old Phil Hammond is stuck with this tricky problem for the Conservative Party called reality. And that economic reality is one in which they don't have a lot of negotiating room, and he doesn't get to be Mr. Brexit. He has to try and be Mr. Serious, and it's a very hard act to sell.
Well, indeed, and we listened to a bit of the speech earlier, and just the very end of it, really. And I mean, it would be an understatement to say the response was muted in the room. It was the opposite, you know, of his, you know, sarcastic showbiz nickname there. But it's just no one seemed to be responding to it very much.
No, because unlike the sort of the fantasy land peddlers, the people like Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg, who were sort of running around Conservative Party conference, selling this sunlit upland that's just around the corner, Phil Hammond looks at the numbers every day, and it's his job to balance the books. And he's getting it in the neck from business. We've had business leaders and unions come out and say the government really needs to move and to act and to develop some unity. He doesn't get to be all Mr. Glitz and Glamour. He has to try and explain to people that what we need is, you know, a sober, orderly transition period of maybe up to 3 years, and other members of the cabinet, people who have a little bit of a more flamboyant writing style and a bit more flamboyant presentational style, just get to go, oh, piffle, we get to come out now and be jolly and happy. And Hammond can't do that, and that's why he's the chancellor.
But it's shooter also why he's probably across the road. Mike. Sorry, I'm in technical error there. Let's talk a little bit about Jacob Rees-Mogg, as you mentioned him there, because there was a sense of him sort of being mobbed by protesters as he you know arrived for his event.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been mobbed by fans and protesters alike. The reason that people love him is also the reason that people hate him, which is that he's outspoken. He speaks to a particular base within the Conservative Party. He obviously draws a lot of fandom from socially conservative voters. But at the same time, that kind of thing is objectionable to people who believe in, say, you know, a woman's right to choose. And I think that's one of the major bases upon which he was confronted this morning.
Yeah, and in terms of how these conferences work, because obviously I know you're on their way there today, but what's it the difference between overall between a Tory conference and a Labour conference? Labour obviously were very jubilant last week, thinking they'd won for some reason, and the Tories is going to be a bit more muted by default. But you know, what are the significant differences between those two party conferences?
Well, at the moment, the significant difference is that if you're a centrist or somebody who's interested in, well, no, if you're someone interested in sort of, you know, the centre ground of modern British politics, then you're going to feel equally uncomfortable at either the Conservative or Labour Party. Labour voters, moderate Labour voters, feeling that they couldn't really say anything against Jeremy Corbyn, whereas the knives are going to be out for Theresa May at every drinks party and every fringe event. The Conservatives are under a pressure here to try and contain and maintain some sense of order and conduct. But actually, a lot of politicians attending this event are going to be there banging the drum for themselves and their own political careers. And the difference there is, of course, at the Labour conference, it was a one-man show.
Well, indeed, it was. And what can we, you know, it's traditional that the party leader speaks on the final day. What are we expecting from Theresa May?
I can't imagine at this stage in her premiership she can really shift the dial of public opinion. Obviously, she'll play the show tunes to the base, The big thing that she's doing that the Conservative faithful will love her for is implementing Brexit. And if she just focuses on that and of course, on just about winning the last election, she'll get some applause. But I think most people there and in the room and outside it will just be looking past her.
And will it help the fact that there's a conference and everybody's there? I mean, is this going to help or hinder the divisions in the cabinet, would you say?
I think if you're asking if this is going to be good or bad for party discipline and morale,
yeah.
I think it's going to be dreadful.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Look, Rupert, thank you for talking to us. GQ political correspondent there. He's on the way to the conference. Well, the differences between the two there, quite significant, as we've been hearing. But let's talk to James Price. He's the campaign manager at the Taxpayers Alliance, who have reacted to Philip Hammond's quite dull speech earlier. But as the Taxpayers Alliance, you know, they have to listen to it when we don't have to. James, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It was quite dull, wasn't it?
Well, some of the jokes may have landed ever so slightly flat, but maybe the main reason it was so dull was because he didn't really have very much to announce.
Yeah,
there were some good noises made at the start about free market enterprise and low taxes and all this sort of stuff and all the kind of things that the Conservatives should be proud of and how terrible and stupid and backward Jeremy Corbyn is and all that kind of stuff. Pretty good red meat and all that. But then there was not really any major policy announcements. There's a bit of money for something up in HS2, linking it to HS3, which we think that HS2 is a total waste of money anyway, so that wasn't a very good announcement. And then the only other sort of piece of substance was on Help to Buy and announcing some more funding on that. And we think that's not a great idea either, because what you're doing then is increasing demand for housing without increasing supply. The only way to make housing cheaper for people is to build more houses, actually, to liberalise the planning system so people can get on the property ladder.
Yeah.
He didn't address any of the problems with any of the sort of meagre bits of policy that he put forward. And the jokes fell flat as well.
Yeah, we were listening to the end of the speech and it was just, I mean, I keep saying it was muted, and it was. And you, when you listen to speeches nowadays, and certainly I suppose Jeremy Corbyn sort of got this all the way through, almost every other sentence is sort of applauded and they keep having to stop, which is why Jeremy Corbyn banged on for 75 minutes possibly. There was no response in that room to Hammond at all. It was just like, it was a kind of, you wouldn't have known there was anyone in there with him until the very end when there was a smattering of applause.
No, and I personally, I think Philip Hammond, I think he's probably quite a serious, clever guy. And I don't think there is much need or definitely much space to be funny or sort of witty or anything in politics at the moment, because the stakes are very high. But that sort of atmosphere in that room is not particularly different from most other speeches, I suppose, in the big area. A lot of the interesting stuff is happening, I would obviously say, in the areas that the Taxpayers Alliance is having events, the kind of what's known as the fringe events. That's where a lot of the interesting policy ideas are being thrown out.
We've been hearing a lot about that, James, actually. Everyone we've spoken to at conferences is saying, well, forget the main room. All the good stuff is happening on the fringe. And it seems to me that the fringe this year at these conferences, the focus has shifted. The media is still obviously concentrating a lot on the big speeches. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It seems the fringe is where, I don't know, the people want to be.
Well, absolutely. Because again, I say that's where the Taxpayers Alliance is. But we've got a lot of events going on. Lots of other think tanks and pressure groups have got events going on. And I think it's probably because the stakes are quite high now. For a little while, when the Conservatives and with the coalition and latterly under David Cameron's majority were doing quite well, the deficit was too slowly but coming down, and everything was sort of just trundling on a little bit nicely, and everybody got a bit complacent. Now we can see that there are very big differences between the parties. There is a very sad state where we're seeing this big call for renationalisations and all this kind of stuff coming out of the hard left, along with some of the less pleasant things as well. And then in the main Conservative Party, they're offering almost Corbynism light in some areas. They say things like Labour are going too far, rather than saying Labour are bad in this at all, and actually people should spend more of their own money and keep more of their own money, and all these things. So actually the fringe events, where we're having a kind of more robust defence of capitalism, coming up with some new ideas, some new policies to actually improve people's lot in life, to help them to help themselves, all the amazing new technologies that are coming into play, that's where all the excitement is. That's what people should focus on.
He spent quite a lot of time during his speech, Philip Hammond, didn't he, undermining or attempting to undermine anyway what Jeremy Corbyn was saying. Certainly his financial, and John McDonald's financial announcements about, you know, PFI and so on and so forth. But he also took a lot of time to draw attention to the failings of the 1970s, inflation, 83% tax and the brain drain.
No, well, and he's absolutely right on all those things. But sadly, the attacks on Mr. Corbyn were made so poorly during the election that people seem to sort of shrug it off. And lots of younger voters don't really believe that the 1970s did have the three-day working week and power cuts and bodies going unburied and rubbish on the streets and all that kind of stuff. We just think it must be some kind of Tory hyperbole. The fact is that we may be heading towards that kind of stuff if we do go down the Corbyn route of huge renationalisation.
That's exactly right, yeah. And I think
and that would be terrifying. And it would be very, very bad for everybody. And, you know, you only see with something like the Uber ruling that these things are enemies of progress, actual proper progress.
I mean, there are here at Talk Radio, a lot of the people that work here are well, they're about 12, and a lot of the, we've had those conversations. You know, you sort of go, no, hang on, this, you know, around the election, and I'd say things, you know, go. I was a kid in the 90s, you know, I was too young to know what was going on in the 1970s, but I remember, you know, the strikes, and I do remember the electricity, the 3 day week thing, and the, you know, because my parents were involved, you know, and experienced all of that. But you're right, you try to tell somebody that now and they go, what? No, that can't have happened. And it's kind of a weird generational thing.
Well, very much so. I mean, I'm talking to you on a phone now where I can access all of the world's information with a couple of taps on the screen. And so maybe people just don't sort of feel like they have to trust what their elders say anymore. There was that kind of that call about people being kind of experts in the referendum last year, although that was aimed at I think so-called experts who kept getting economic predictions wrong. And I think maybe he was right on that, because some of the predictions that Mr. Gove cited were right. But we are looking at someone, people seem to think that if it feels true for me, then that's all right. If we feel that we're tired of austerity, for instance, then we can have enough of it and we can, quote, turn the spending taps back on and just ignore the fact that we're still spending tens of billions of pounds a year more than we bring in taxes. And that's just more massive debt that's going on. And we can just ignore it because it doesn't feel like it's something we want to talk about. And that's going to be a huge worry for our grandchildren who are paying off £2 trillion worth of debt.
James, thank you for joining us. That's James Price from the Taxpayers Alliance there, reacting to Philip Hammond's speech at the Tory Party conference in Manchester this afternoon. Now, Donald Trump, we think, is going to be talking in around 10 or 15 minutes' time. His reaction to the shooting in Las Vegas. We are bringing you that developing story, and if Donald Trump does speak, we will be taking that some of that speech for you, so you can hear what he has to say. It makes a change from a pithy tweet anyway, so that's good news. And Michael Graham, US broadcaster we spoke to earlier, we are going to be talking repeating a bit of that for you as well, because he had some very interesting things to say on the subject. And Victoria will be bringing you the news at 3:30 as it develops. It's Talk Radio in the afternoon. Traffic and Travel on the way next.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
Stoptober is back, and this year it's bigger than ever. Over 1 million people have used the Stoptober 28-day Stop Smoking Challenge to help them quit. And Stoptober's got loads to help you stop for good, like the free app, the online community, and face-to-face support. Plus, you can use patches, gum, even e-cigarettes to help you kick the habit. Keep it up for 28 days and you're 5 times more likely to quit. So come on, join in, because Stoptober is bigger than ever. Search Stoptober for all the support you need to quit smoking for good.
So, start of the week, I'm on the edge of my seat with Game of Thrones. By the middle of the week, I'm seeing Stars with Tin Star. The next thing you know, it all kicks off with A League of Their Own. You see, with Sky TV, I can enjoy Sky Atlantic's big screen drama and 45 channels of catch-up TV, all for £20 a month. And right now, there are great broadband offers too. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better. £20 standard setup, Sky Q kit loaned at no cost, new 18-month TV contract, terms apply.
Hi, I'm Steve Backley.
And I'm Roger Black.
As Olympians, we know that if you work hard and believe in yourself, you can achieve your goals.
That's why we've created Perform in Property, to help people like you learn how and why to invest in the property market.
We have a series of free training workshops coming to London soon.
To find out more, visit talk.discoverpip.com.
Register now and get started on your path to being a successful property investor.
Come and join our team.
Visit talk.discoverpip.com.
The new TradePoint catalogue is out now. Pick up your free copy today in one of our 290 stores nationwide. Trade on. TradePoint!
Winston Wolf. We all have those days where bed stuff comes in threes. You get woken early to find a body on your bed, some schmuck stains your best suit red, and you get a burst pipe. It's a nail in the coffin, right? Well, Direct Line will get you an emergency plumber within 3 hours. See, good things also come in threes.
Emergency plumber within 3 hours for an uncontrollable water leak with Direct Line Home Plus Insurance. Based on 86% of responses, March to June 2017, excludes Highlands and Islands. Extreme weather conditions may extend response time. Terms and cover limits apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's a lane closed on the M40 southbound in Oxfordshire after an accident and debris on the road between 10 for Brackley and 9 for Bicester. In Cambridgeshire, the M11 southbound, a lane closed due to emergency repairs at junction 14 for Girton. And in the West Midlands, the M6 southbound, there's a lane closed due to broken down vehicle between junction 6 for the Aston Expressway and 5 for Castle Bromwich. Finally, in East Lothian, the West Barnes, the A1 northbound, that's closed due to accident investigation work at the A199 Fistley Cross roundabout. I'm Paul Jenkins.
When you run your own business, being in the right place at the right time can make all the difference. And as the UK's number one commercial vehicle brand, we understand this too. That's why at the Ford Transit Show live event, we'll give you a free sat-nav when you purchase a new commercial vehicle, so your business can be in the right place at the right time, every time. Visit your nearest Ford dealer between the 7th and 15th of October. Ford. Together, we go further.
The free entry-level satellite navigation system available across the transit range, excluding base and Tourneo series vehicles, to be contracted between the 7th and 15th of October 2017 and registered between the 7th of October 2017 and 30th of June 2018. Offer available to retail and eligible fleet customers only at participating Ford dealers, not available with any other promotions.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories, original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney. Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney!
Weekday afternoons from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, you'll know by now, I'm sure, that there are injuries, 406 of them, due to this mass shooting in Vegas, and the plus 50 plus people have died. A shooting at the Las Vegas Music Festival. It was a country music festival happening over the road from the Mandalay Bay Hotel, where a shooter had an illegal gun on the 32nd floor and started shooting at the crowd. Earlier, we spoke to Michael Graham, US broadcaster, about the initial response.
And they blew open the door, and based on what we know right now, and once again, I stand by that all this could turn out to be, you know, corrected later on. But apparently he was in the hotel room. He was still alive, and he was apparently killed by police, which, once again, if that is the case, tells us something else. You know, there's a certain common person committing, you know, there's a threat of violence that gets all of our attention, and that usually involves somebody who's prepared to die when they commit the act. If this person was not trying to die, maybe the woman was going to be his escape vehicle, or maybe, you know, he planned on being arrested and making some statement in the courts. We don't know, but the cops had to blow open the door and get him.
And what is the situation there now? Is Las Vegas still on lockdown? What's the situation?
I just saw a report. I do analysis for CBS News over here, yeah. And one of our reporters is in the hotel, happened to be there for something else, and he said within the past hour that the hotel was telling everyone, stay in your room, stay in your room. And so they tried to leave and were told again within the hour, stay in your room. So that's the situation.
Yeah.
I heard.
And people were saying as well that the hotel had kind of opened up to sort of survivors, really, for people to just go in, and they're putting them in conference rooms and all that sort of stuff.
There's one trauma center hospital, whatever the top ranking for that is in the Vegas area. And they had taken in 104 people as of the top of the hour.
Right.
And four had already that they'd received had passed away. They've already had many people been treated and released because there was relatively minor injuries. But they're taking people straight from the ambulance straight into the OR. They're not even doing the usual in the hospital triage.
Yeah. Just briefly on the sort of history of this kind of thing, because this is the deadliest, the worst mass shooting, is the word right. That are being used, of course, in recent U.S. history. Is that word recent significant there?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, the fact is the ability to kill lots of people with a gun has got, we have gotten more and more efficient at that. The previous major mass killing that was the biggest from the previous century involved explosives, is because that was how you killed lots of people at one time. And I'm delighted to say that we have forgotten the era of the anarchists at the turn of the 18th into the 19th, into the 1900s.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've forgotten that, but it was, unfortunately, you know, there was an entire political movement that openly said we use violence to achieve our ends, and that era is gone. But when you think of mass shootings in the United States, the one that has the most power is the shooting at the elementary school in Connecticut, because it was, you know, children completely helpless.
Yeah.
And this person with mental illness who didn't have to buy the guns. He stole his mom's guns, killed her, and went to the school and shot everybody. And it raises the question, how do you stop that? I mean, this is one of my frustrations with my friends on the right. They want to dismiss all the conversations about, you know, what do we do with arguments about the Second Amendment and the theory of the distribution of power between the government and the governed, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I go to Vegas. My kids go to country music concerts. I don't want them to die. There has to be something we can do as the normal human response. But here in America, the debate is, well, what? Even if you buy the arguments in favor of banning private gun ownership, even if you decided that was going to be the America you live in, and which is, by the way, wildly unpopular, even after the shootings at the elementary school in Connecticut, support for gun ownership continues to go up in the United States. And about 6 in 10 adult men own a gun in the United States.
Interrupting that there. We were talking to Michael Graham, US broadcaster, about the initial response to the shooting in Las Vegas. It's a developing story. Donald Trump is due to speak soon. But ahead of that, Victoria's got the latest news on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. A 64-year-old man has shot and killed at least 50 people from the 32nd floor of a Las Vegas hotel. More than 400 others were taken to hospital from an outdoor concert in the city. Police say Stephen Paddock had at least 10 guns in his hotel room and killed himself. Brett Kenyon saw events from another hotel nearby.
I was absolutely terrified. Before all the information was out, we were hearing there was possible gunmen at other hotels, so we didn't know what was going on, and it was absolutely terrifying.
US Homeland Security say there's no specific credible threat to other public venues, and as we've been hearing, President Trump is due to give a statement shortly. The financial collapse of Britain's fifth biggest airline, Monarch, has hit the travel plans of 860,000 passengers. Flights are being put on to return anyone who's currently stuck abroad. It's been described as the UK's biggest ever peacetime repatriation. Conservative backbencher Jacob Rees-Mogg has been mobbed by protesters at the Tory party conference. Reports suggest the event descended into chaos, with people questioning the politician about his beliefs on abortion. He's previously said it goes against his Catholic faith. Alleged Spanish police brutality during yesterday's banned independence referendum in Catalonia is going to be examined. The region's leader says a special commission will be set up after hundreds of people were injured. Police Scotland's chief constable is facing a third investigation into claims of gross misconduct. Phil Gormley is already on special leave while a watchdog looks into two other complaints which he previously denied. And fans going to watch Thursday's match between England and Slovenia won't be able to get off at Wembley Stadium. Chiltern Railway says its trains won't be stopping there due to the impact of the tube strike. The weather: rain in the south will clear, with some clear spells meaning it will turn rather chilly tonight. Some showers are likely towards the north and northwest, but these should ease. Lows of 10 degrees. Tomorrow, most places will be dry and breezy with highs of 16. There's more news in half an hour.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Now, Donald Trump is due to speak about the mass shooting in Las Vegas very shortly. We will be bringing it to you just as soon as he does. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Delaney, live at Drive. Get the full service and parts experience with essential debate, big name guests and a truckload of topical emissions.
Traffic stopping, drive time entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delicious, de-groovy, de-lovely, Delaney.
Stop. Look, listen to Sam Delaney.
Get involved.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. There's a brand new mouth in the morning. The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 6 on Talk Radio. The biggest breaking news stories, headline-grabbing guests, an outspoken opinion with the man who's waking up the nation.
Total Talk. Essential listening.
Paul Ross is the breakfast boss. Let's bacon roll.
Massive morning radio that's worth going to work for.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast.
Good morning, madam.
Weekday mornings from 6
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, the shooting in Las Vegas overnight, we know of 50 people, more than 50 people, 50 people plus have been killed. There are 406 people in hospital. Police say the gunman had at least 10 rifles with him. The gun he was using from the window initially was an illegal machine gun. He turned the gun on himself, contrary to earlier reports that the police had broken into his room and shot him. Earlier on, we spoke to Dr. Raj Basso, consultant psychiatrist, about the psychological aspects of people who go out to commit these terrible crimes. Raj, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's talk a little bit about the psychology of this, because people are saying, as they do always when this happens in the current state of the world, is like, oh, well, all right, it's a terror attack over here. And before we knew the identity of the gunman, people were speculating as to whether this was one of these, you know, Islamic fundamentalist attacks or what it was. At the end of the day, people are dead for a reason. And the reason is down to the whim of whoever has decided to kill them. We sort of know with an attack based on religion, I suppose, broadly, what the end game is. It's to kill people who aren't Muslim in the case of the Islamic attacks. But in the case of something like this, it's what psychologically is the motive for this kind of thing, if indeed there is one?
Well, you absolutely put your finger on it, which is there's a distinction between two kinds of mass killings like this. The first one is political, a terrorist incident where there's an attempt to bring about some kind of political change or raise political awareness. So there's a political ideology that goes behind it. But this is a very different kind of attack from what we can tell so far. And this is the kind of attack you tend to see particularly in America, partly because of the access to guns that people have. And I understand this occurred in a state which has one of the most relaxed sets of gun laws in the United States.
That's right, yeah.
But with this kind of attack, you're generally speaking dealing with someone who is extremely disgruntled and upset and probably, not always, probably has some kind of mental health problem that has been flagged up in the past. Now, that obviously is not to say that people with mental health problems are dangerous or violent, but in with mass killings of this kind, there is a higher rate of some kind of mental health background issue. And the best way, I think, to think about this is to compare it with, for want of a better word, a normal homicide. In a normal homicide, you've developed a fear or a hatred or a pathological hatred towards a particular individual who's done you wrong in some way. Let's say your wife betrayed you or left you, and you pursue her and then you kill her. So there's a hatred devoted towards one person because of something they did to you, and often it's an act of revenge. Now, in this particular case where someone takes out 50 people or a large number of people, what's happened is there's no one individual they've developed a hatred or resentment towards. It's a community. And usually you'll find there's a link between the group of people he's targeted and what the disgruntlement is about. So it's no accident this was a pop concert of some description. There'll be some link between this particular event, i.e. the fact that there's a particular kind of person that turns up to a pop concert and why he picked that particular place to go after these people.
Yeah, often these are called random killings, aren't they, in the sense that the people they kill are random. But what you're saying is, and I think that's right, is that something unites those people because they are in a particular place, and then you've got a person willing to do that group of people or what they stand for harm.
Yes, Well, for example, if you take the Virginia Tech killer, which happened a few years ago, that was a student that became very disgruntled about what he saw, and by the way, he did have a past psychiatric history as well, but what he saw as the fact that the students around him seemed to be more popular, seemed to be dating each other, seemed to have more money than him, and he became very resentful for that fact they all seemed to have a life and he didn't. So he went and shot a lot of students. And again, there was another famous example and several famous examples in America of an ex-employee, someone gets to sack at work, then turns up the next day and shoots everyone in the office, or in particular targeting the boss. So again, what you're seeing is a disgruntlement and a resentment towards a particular community because of something you feel they've done to you. So there is a pattern that emerges over and over again with these incidents.
Those, the ones you've described, are, seem to be more understandable. Not acceptable, of course, but certainly more understandable. This one, however, it's slight at this stage. I mean, it's early days, of course, but it's hard to see what it could be, because when we've had concert attacks before, Manchester, of course, recently here, springing to mind, it's about a gathering of people. And in the case of that attack, you know, it was young people who were enjoying something that is of a Western value, for example. This, however, you know, unless you've got a particular thing against country music, what could it possibly be that's made him target that group?
Well, I mean, there are all sorts of different possibilities. It could be a disgruntlement because he was rejected in some way by the industry. Let us say he had a job at a record label, for example, or maybe was a failed musician or thrown out of a band. There are all sorts of different links between a disgruntlement and a rejection and a decision to attack the community. Or it may be the value system of people who turn up to pop concerts. Going back to the Manchester point, these people will tend to be more liberal, perhaps a bit more left-wing, perhaps have a different attitude towards drugs, etc., etc., etc. So, you know, there could be a connection in that way. But you will find it's not random in the sense that he just decided to take a lot of people out. There'll be something about that group of people that's linked in some way, in the warped way in which these people think, to some rejection or humiliation that he himself has experienced in the past.
Okay. And in terms of his background, there are already stories emerging that he wasn't necessarily known to police, but was known in certain circles. And in America, you have to have, and this is an illegal gun he had, let's point that out for a start. And you're right about Nevada having these lax gun laws, but in America now you do have to have certain background checks still when you buy guns, is that right?
Yes, I mean, I worked in America for a while, but to be honest, there's so many, I mean, I think, I can't remember what the statistics are, but even a billion, there may be a billion guns in America. I mean, it's just very easy to get hold of them. And even if they are background checks, they're relatively simple to get around. It's much more difficult than here in the UK. To get a shotgun license, for example, here in the UK, you have to have a medical person sign you off, plus the police come around and visit you at home. And I'm not sure that happens in America. And there's a lot of psychology behind the police coming and visiting you at home, because when they see you at home, they get a sense of what your mental state is like, for example. So when we try to think now about how to stop these terrible tragedies occurring, the research evidence is that definitely constraining gun laws is the way to go. And if you look at Australia had gun laws that were quite similar in the lax sense of the US, and then after a couple of tragic incidents just like this in Australia, they dramatically tightened up their gun laws to make it almost like Britain, and these incidents just stopped. And of course, the trouble is that the culture in America will not be sympathetic to that. The only other thing that you can do is try to improve mental health services, because over and over again, what you find is that these people have made some contact with mental health services, but it never got followed up. And there is a theory that if we improve mental health services as well, that could go some way towards reducing the incidence of this sort of thing. But primarily, the key action point would be in the gun law situation.
And just on a final note, connected to that, when Obama started talking about bringing in a law suggesting that anyone buying a gun should have their medical background looked at, particularly their psychiatric medical background, and that met with opposition because there were gun owners who said, well, hang on a minute, I was a bit depressed once and I went to see someone about it. There was, you know, and people coming home from, who were in the military coming home from war and stuff, who, you know, having post-traumatic stress, but said, you know, why should one visit to a psychiatrist stop me owning a gun? And there was no grey area there. It was a case of, right, if you've had a history of, or even one visit to a psychiatrist, that will be on your record, you won't be able to have a gun. That was where the clash came, it seemed.
Yes, and of course that kind of thing can backfire, which is that people who really ought to go and see a psychiatrist probably won't or postpone it because they're worried about the impact on various things, like getting a gun license. And of course we've seen this famously with pilots. Pilots are scared of mentioning depression to their doctor in case it goes on their record and then counts against them in terms of their career. So what we need is for people with mental health difficulties to feel able to go and confide in them with a professional without fearing some terrible consequence. So I think actually the best thing to do is to take more the British view or the European view of gun law, which is to constrain them much more dramatically. And you have to demonstrate a special interest. And for example, in Britain, you have to be a member of a gun club, etc., etc. You have to have quite a clear interest in shooting as a sport, clay pigeon shooting, etc., etc., to be allowed to have a gun. In America, that is not the case.
Dr. Raj Basu talking to us earlier there about the psychology of people who would be minded to go out and commit these kind of terrible crimes, as the one we're seeing in Las Vegas at the moment. Now, Donald Trump is scheduled to speak on the situation very shortly indeed. We will be bringing it to you when he does. He's running about 15 minutes late, but if he starts talking, you'll hear it on Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
This unsavory creature, called the Monster Bill, makes its home in motor vehicles, where the Monster Bill's voracious appetite for money slowly drives the owners, who can't be bothered to switch their car insurance company, bananas. But could the Monster Bill now be at risk of extinction from its one natural and powerful predator?
Go compare! Rawr! Just go visit them today. Keep that Monster Bill at bay. Yes, before you go bananas, go compare!
Got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the train go.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade quality building products. In October, we've got 3.6 Newton 100mm aerated concrete blocks for only 99 pence each ex-VAT. Now that's a real deal. To find more real deals and your nearest branch, go to selcobw.com.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the train go.
Upgrades are everywhere. Upgrade your phone, upgrade your wardrobe, upgrade your TV package. But will these upgrades move essential building kit across the country? It's van month this October at Renault, so why not take advantage of the best kind of upgrade for your business? And with the Renault scrappage scheme, you can swap old for new and save thousands towards the purchase of a selected new panel Renault van, including on our brand new Formula Edition range. Order by 31st December and register by 31st January 2018. Participating dealers only, business customers only. Visit your nearest Renault Pro Plus dealership to find out more. For full eligibility criteria and terms, go to renault.co.uk/van-scrappage.
Back a bit. No. Forward. Bit more. Now, back. Forward. Wait, forward.
At Valent, we can't help you get your van into the tightest spaces, but our award-winning EcoFit Pure Boilers with their rear flue option are designed to easily fit into small cupboards. And a boiler and flue pack costs from just £750 plus 20% VAT. Valent, with you all the way. Just search Valent EcoFit for more.
Back a bit. Perfect.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
The team at Stanton Fisher recently claimed back over £4,500 for me. This money was invaluable, as I'd been out of work for a little while, and it gave me some breathing space.
But the claim deadline is set for August 2019, so text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
In East Lothian, the A1 northbound remains closed due to accident investigation work at the Thistley Cross roundabout. In Crawley, the A23 Crawley Avenue southbound is partially blocked after a three-vehicle accident at Southgate Avenue. In South Normanton, Derbyshire, the A38, that's queuing due to an earlier oil spillage at the M1 junction 28 for Alfreton. And on the trains, there's delays and cancellations on Virgin Trains East Coast and Cross Country between Durham and Newcastle due to overhead line problems. I'm Paul Jenkins.
When you run your own business, being in the right place at the right time can make all the difference. And as the UK's number one commercial vehicle brand, we understand this too. That's why at the Ford Transit Show live event, we'll give you a free sat-nav when you purchase a new commercial vehicle. So your business can be in the right place at the right time, every time. Visit your nearest Ford dealer between the 7th and 15th of October. Ford. Together, we go further.
The free entry-level satellite navigation system available across the Transit range, excluding base and Tourneo series vehicles, to be contracted between the 7th and 15th of October 2017 and registered between the 7th of October 2017 and 30th of June 2018. Offer available to retail and eligible fleet customers only at participating Ford dealers. Not available with any other promotions.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
It's the Full Set Breakfast, asking you the big questions of the day, which Carol Malone always manages to answer. For example, Carol, which great opponent of Cartesian dualism insists there was no difference between the extended and the unextended consciousness?
Don't be stupid.
Thank you very much indeed. That's me, Paul Ross, and Carol Malone, the double act with two straight people only on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6.
It was, in fact, Henri Bergson.
On Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Paul Ross there. Now, in a very short time indeed, we are expecting Donald Trump to speak about this Vegas mass shooting. There is news now that ISIS have claimed responsibility for that attack. They have said that Stephen Paddock, the gunman who was 64 years old on the 32nd floor of that Mandalay Bay hotel, was, and I quote, a soldier of the Islamic State. So ISIS have now claimed responsibility for this. I should say the caveat to that is there is no evidence for that yet. Officials in America are saying that they have no evidence that that's to be the case. It could be just ISIS claiming responsibility for something we don't know yet. But of course, that is a developing story, and we'll bring it to you as indeed it develops. We also were talking earlier about the Catalan violence over the weekend, of course, in the referendum vote that the government had declared illegal. Alex Miquel is talking to us now. He was on the scene of one of the polling stations in Barcelona. Good afternoon, Alex.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very good. Listen, thank you for joining us. To tell us where you were yesterday and what you saw.
Well, actually, what I did is to go to my polling station. As a citizen, I wanted to exercise my right to vote. So I attended my polling station. I went there. I found a very, very long queue, perhaps 1,000 people queuing there. And what happened is that when I was just in the middle of the queue, six cars filled by perhaps 20 Spanish policemen, they appeared there and they started raiding and they started hitting us, because what they wanted to do is to access the polling station in order to confiscate ballot boxes and ballot papers and even votes that had been already cast.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well,
not only they did that, but also they, as I said, they started hitting people with their batons, and also all men, five young men, that all them, the only thing that they wanted to do was to vote. And also when they accessed the polling station, not only they took the ballot boxes, but also they broke doors and tables, which are in a school.
All right.
In the school.
Alex, sorry to cut you off there. This is obviously an important story, and we're going to pick that up with you, I know. But Donald Trump, we promised you this, has just started speaking to the White House as part of this press conference. We're going to take that live now.
Music concert in Las Vegas, Nevada. He brutally murdered more than 50 people and wounded hundreds more. It was an act of pure evil. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security are working closely with local authorities to assist with the investigation, and they will provide updates as to the investigation and how it develops. I want to thank the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and all of the first responders for their courageous efforts and for helping to save the lives of so many. The speed with which they acted is miraculous and prevented further loss of life. To have found the shooter so quickly after the first shots were fired is something for which we will always be thankful and grateful. It shows what true professionalism is all about. Hundreds of our fellow citizens are now mourning the sudden loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother or sister. We cannot fathom their pain. We cannot imagine their loss. To the families of the victims, we are praying for you, and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period. Scripture teaches us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We seek comfort in those words, for we know that God lives in the hearts of those who grieve. To the wounded who are now recovering in hospitals, we are praying for your full and speedy recovery and pledge to you our support from this day forward. In memory of the fallen, I have directed that our great flag be flown at half staff. I will be visiting Las Vegas on Wednesday to meet with law enforcement, first responders, and the families of the victims. In moments of tragedy and horror, America comes together as one, and it always has. We call upon the bonds that unite us, our faith, our family, and our shared values. We call upon the bonds of citizenship, the ties of community, and the comfort of our common humanity. Our unity cannot be shattered by evil. Our bonds cannot be broken by violence. And though we feel such great anger at the senseless murder of our fellow citizens, it is our love that defines us today and always will, forever. In times such as these, I know we are searching for some kind of meaning in the chaos, some kind of light in the darkness. The answers do not come easy. But we can take solace knowing that even the darkest space can be brightened by a single light, and even the most terrible despair can be illuminated by a single ray of hope. Melania and I are praying for every American who has been hurt, wounded, or lost the ones they love so dearly in this terrible, terrible attack. We pray for the entire nation to find unity and peace, and we pray for the day when evil is banished and the innocent are safe from hatred and from fear. May God bless the souls of the lives that are lost. May God give us the grace of healing, and may God provide the grieving families with strength to carry on. Thank you. God bless America. Thank you.
Donald Trump there speaking live at the White House in Washington on the shooting in Las Vegas. More than 50 people dead, 406 people in hospital. Those are the figures we know. Details of the background, the circumstance, of course, all still emerging. Sam Delaney will be with you from 4, bringing you the news as it develops. He's here now. Another day, another shooting, Sam, isn't it, really?
Yeah, well, interesting about that Trump speech, I suppose, is that he just delivered a generic, pretty sincere, obviously carefully scripted by someone else, script straight down the barrel. That's genuinely the first time I think I've ever seen him turn up and just do what a president is supposed to do.
Yeah.
He so often capitalizes on situations, even ones of tragedy like the recent storms, to make personal and political points and to lash out at enemies. And very often almost makes a point the fact that he's not going to be scared to cause offence, even at sensitive times. I genuinely expected him, you know, and this is, well, he's been in power 9 months. I expected him to say something out of the ordinary there, something unguarded or something controversial. And he didn't. He just turned up. And I mean, I've never seen Donald Trump, since he's been in office, make a speech as straightforward as that. Whether or not that's a reflection of the fact that it's hit him more strongly than, you know, the various other tragic events that have unfolded in recent months. I don't know. Maybe he's learning lessons. But it's just an observation. It's just unusual.
It's a very, very accurate one as well. I think you're right. And it those words could have been said by any president. Mm. It wasn't Trump-esque.
No, I'm sitting there thinking, this is kind of what Obama would say.
Yeah.
But I guess you'd believe it more from Obama.
Yeah. And he probably wouldn't have tweeted about it either.
Yeah, exactly. So, so he's turned up. He's not tried to make political capital out of it. But how can America really react to this sort of thing? I know that, I mean, you just told me that ISIS are trying to claim responsibility for this.
Yeah.
If this is, though, just another shooting by a lone gunman with some sort of issue or mental health problem, it's really hard to know how America can ever respond to that, how a president can ever respond to it, other than in the way Obama had the courage to do, which is call for, you know, guns to be outlawed.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump's never going to do that, is he?
No, he isn't. We spent a lot of time talking about that gun control earlier and the nuance. I didn't know the figure I learned today, 6 out of 10 American men own guns, and I thought, I didn't know it was that high.
No.
That came as a surprise to me. But anyway, much to discuss, much to talk about, Sam, with you from 4 o'clock here on Talk Radio. We're back tomorrow at 1. It is Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.